Is it the end of the world? Yes, it is the end of the world. And it's also the beginning. The beginning of a brand new, solid, Juggalo podcast for us all to enjoy.
What's up? How you doing?
Chopping, man.
Keep on chopping, man. Swing them if you must. How you doing? We are live. This is Deck One Delt and Juggalo Podcast. My name's Keezy, and this is
Carver Law, y'all.
How y'all doing? We also have a special guest. You can't see him yet. Here he is.
What?
Oh, what's hey. Up, man?
How you doing?
What are you going by today?
Ben.
Our buddy Ben.
Yeah, this is Ben.
Sounds good.
Ben's been our Juggalo homie forever.
Just as long.
Decades.
Yeah, just as long.
I think I knew you before Derek. You may have even introduced me to Derek. You were hanging out with him and I went to go hang out with you or some shit. But
maybe.
Really?
No. I knew Derek from school.
Oh.
Yeah, I met him some other people, and then Derek pretty much introduced me to everybody.
Oh, excuse me, Carver. My bad.
Oh, Carver. Who is this Derek person you guys are talking about?
I don't know. But yeah, that's what's up. Welcome. Thanks for coming, man.
Yeah, man.
You've been kind of out of the ICP Juggalo world for a while, right? Kind of just excluded yourself from it like most folks our age have.
Well, I think it was really like after like the sixth card dropped. I was kind of like, all right, cool, end of an era.
You're like, we did it.
Yeah. All right, that's good. Put that back in the closet.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Moved on. I mean, plus, when you get family and kids and shit, man, at one point, ICP was top priority.
Yeah.
For me, I can speak for myself, but I imagine it was close for you guys.
As far as social life, yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, I can honestly say, I probably wouldn't be friends with either of you guys if it wasn't for ICP, and I could say that about most of us. I mean, when the fuck did we meet? I recall it being in the valley. You may have even been at Carver's house or some shit, and I came and met you over there.
Yeah, it was either at my house, Chris's house, Shane's house, or Richard's house.
I didn't even know Chris back then, so it was.
We were like at Old
Your Kate. House. It was either you, Shane, or Richard. That was it.
Yeah.
Nevertheless,
yeah.
For viewers or listeners, we go way back. That's
which I feel like it was probably over at your house.
I think
we were over there on I want to say it was like New Year's Eve or something, man. And we were hanging out, having some drinks in the basement, kicking it.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably listening to ICP.
Yeah, and I think Gibbles came over that night too, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, we all kind of joined forces around that time.
Right.
It was definitely...
Dark Carnival brought us together.
Yeah, for sure. If it wasn't for ICP, we would have never probably even cared.
Yeah.
Like attracts like, man.
Yeah, it happened, man. I have a lot of cool pictures from the gathering of me and you, Ben. But I should have got them prepared prior, so I won't waste anybody's time with them.
I was gonna say people see me without all of this.
Yeah. We got a picture of him with what's her name, Missy?
Oh God,
from fucking Big Money Hustlers.
Yeah,
Hustlers, yeah. Big Money Hustlers. Yeah. Picture. There's all kinds of pictures of us standing with random Juggalo,
random stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, we're having fun, man. Taking pictures before the whole selfie thing was going on. We were like, we pretty much invented it back then. Let's do some selfies with people.
Yeah. We were.
How many disposable cameras can we go through this weekend?
Yeah. Dude,
the amount of rolls. I had a little camera that took these special fucking rolls of film and shit. I thought it was cool, but yeah, I legit have 20 of those from each gathering. Yeah.
And then going to Myers and getting them developed and sitting there and waiting and
You were scared that they're going to throw them in the trash because there's some with titties on them. At least mine.
Camera's full.
My priority at the gathering was usually let me get as many pictures of tits as I can.
Yeah, man, there was titty hallway. There was so many things.
Titty
going
hallway.
On.
Yeah. You developed a titty booth at one point.
Titty booth. That was a titty. Yeah, I remember. There's all these Juggalo websites at the time, and they all had their own little booth at the gathering. It was in Toledo.
We just found an empty one.
We found an empty one no one had claimed yet or something. We literally we had a group of 10 of us.
Derek took a poster board and had Sharpie mark by titty booth.
Yeah. Nick was down there with his shirt off and shit.
Oh, God.
God, man.
Good times, man.
I remember going up because there was a walkway,
like a catwalk.
Yeah, like a catwalk or like just some second floor that looked over. Yeah,
I got a picture of that.
Yep.
And I remember seeing it. Like, I just walked up and looked down, and everybody was still at the booth. Like, just the anarchy that was going on.
Yeah, that's good. Motherfuckers would come join us and like
titties on the phone. Yeah. Titties on the phone. Wear that.
Yeah, just some girl with tits. I don't even remember if they were something to write home about, but just like, you start chanting titties on the phone.
Well, she was on a payphone, I think, the time, because they didn't even have cell phones. Like, she was on a payphone over there, and you just like start yelling at her, and she's like, what?
Eventually, I think she showed her titties though.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
She happened. Was laughing. I mean, most of them laugh.
This is before Me Too. Yeah, for what it's worth.
Well, the thing about it was, it's like, yeah. I don't know about other juggalos, but if we, you know, if like they weren't feeling it, we left them alone.
Yeah, and just, of course.
You know,
it was for fun, man.
Yeah,
I
do remember at one point the whole booth was just surrounded by dudes with cameras, and there were no chicks inside. Yeah. Like, there were no females anywhere. And everybody's like, got their cameras ready, like, all right, just waiting on it to show up.
I remember looking around, like, yeah, I think it's dead. Once that happened, it was done.
We had some guys still hanging in there, tough though, man.
But we resurrected it at Crystal Forest with the Titty Walkway.
Titty Walkway. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
we hid in the bushes and screamed the same shit at chicks. Like, show me your tits! And like, they wouldn't even know where you were.
See, most of the jugglers at the gatherings in those days would just, you know, they run up. Let's see your tits, or how, you know, but we did it, you know, we came up with whole epic things to like do.
Games and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Anywho, man. Yeah, that's how we roll. That's
show
how we
you roll. Boobs, we'll flip you a quarter.
You got to think, we were early 20s, late teens.
Yeah.
Hormones raging. I mean, it was just, and then around women who were willing to show their tits.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, it was happening.
Dude, 18 at Toledo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was crazy, man.
Yeah. That
was
it. There's nothing better, man.
Kyle, I don't even think you were 18 yet.
I don't know if I was. You're right.
2001.
Yeah. I would have been.
I think you were 17.
Yeah, 17. Yeah. Shit. God damn. Yeah. Yeah. Those are the fucking days, man.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about Riddlebox today, as you can see. You know, before that, we want to touch on a couple things just that we had in mind. One thing I wanted to mention is I thought it was interesting and cool, actually. Did you see that Violent J, like, blackout wear? Like, it's Violent J wear. Do you remember when he did that shit back in the day? It was, like, Violent wear, and he had, like, embroidered.
Yep.
Hatchet Man logos. They're actually pretty tight.
Called the Blackout Series by Violent Wear.
Yes. You got a note about that? Look at you.
No, I'm just on the ICP Facebook.
But yeah, the shirts are really tight. Have you seen them?
Uh-uh.
Well, let me show you.
It's got the Joker's card.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's called like the first six Blackout series.
All black shirts with like blacked out Joker's cards.
Really?
They're pretty sweet.
I would have went to go buy one, but here they are. It's kind of hard to see on this fucking plasma TV. You literally can't even see it. Well, let me pull it over here. You might be able to see it better.
I like that hat with a white outline of the Hatchet Man.
Yeah, that one is pretty tight. Legit. Oh, well, I can't bring it over. But nevertheless, I can show the viewers. You might be able to see it on there. There it is. There's even the Riddlebox one.
Yeah, I can't see it.
I can't see shit either. So,
yeah, you can see it a little bit right here.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, the point is, the shirts are really tight. I mean, they haven't done a series of like just Joker's cards. It's just a basic Joker's card, you know? Right. It's the kind of shit I would definitely buy today as like an old school juggalo. You know, that's right in my alley.
Yeah, I can't see buying any like of the new Joker's cards, honestly.
Yeah.
Maybe the Fred. I think he's probably the coolest looking card out of the second deck. Yeah. But the first is classic, man.
Yeah, but those shirts are pretty tight. I didn't have much to say about them. I was like, well, I might buy one, but they're fucking $25. Then they want like $6 shipping. Like, fuck off. I'm not paying $30 for a shirt.
Yeah, fuck that.
So, I mean, I get it. Maybe I'm just a cheap ass, but I don't care much about it.
We used to pay $30-$35 a shirt, no problem. Like, yeah, give me two.
Hundreds of dollars for merch.
Yeah, dude. Right. I've dropped $500+ at an ICP concert, old concert before. So I know.
Fucking whole check in there. Like,
yeah.
This is 2 weeks of work right
for
here.
Real. Like, right. I paid my truck. The rest was for ICP shit. Yeah.
So worth it. So worth it.
But, and then I seen that they're finally giving people the option to buy the Brother EP, which I'm happy for.
Yeah, I saw that post too. Is that a vinyl or just a...
It's just a CD as far as I know. So they were giving those out to people like Violent. They were supposed to do a solo tour like last month, and Violent J canceled it after like three dates.
Oh, nice.
Because...
from his solo tour.
Yeah, they were giving those out to people who bought the VIP packages for his solo tour, but he canceled after like three dates because they said so much shit to do for the new album, he said, supposedly. Right. But I've been wondering what the fuck they were doing with those, because I was like, fuck, I would like to have one. I've heard it. I've downloaded it. And it's tight. I like all four songs on it.
So there's a Violent J EP and then a Shaggy solo EP, because Violent J and Shaggy both did solo tours. Shaggy so did
like Fuck Off and what, Wizard of the Hood?
Pretty much.
Similar,
like a little solo project.
Just thing. Exactly. 2019 style.
Yeah.
Right.
But obviously.
I'm dating myself.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
That's what we're here for.
In my eyes, not nowhere close as good as those.
Yeah. But
right.
Honestly, I will say I enjoy the Shaggy one. I really like that one.
I still need to listen to that. I'll check it out.
I wasn't feeling the Violent J EP, man.
Really? I loved it.
I wasn't. I mean, maybe I'll give it another listen.
I like every song on it. All four
maybe
songs.
We'll in 10 years we'll get to that review.
Yeah, for sure. That'll be a short episode. But yeah,
maybe we can do a whole show where we go through all their
like solo EPs.
Yeah,
and shit.
Maybe
that'd be cool.
Like that.
We'll figure something out there.
But Wizard of the Hood has to be its own show.
Absolutely,
though. That's a fucking incredible album.
But yeah, that they're selling that for $25, which I would buy one if it was
the
10.
EP.
Yes.
What?
I know. There's only 1,000 of them. So, you know, I understand it's a collector's item and shit, but god damn,
only 1,000, jump on it, dude.
Some big,
no, I'm not buying that shit.
Limited numbers for original press up.
Not for $25. I ain't paying that.
Okay.
I've already heard it and I like it. And
right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. 10 years ago, it would have been a no brainer.
It was a fucking free give out, wasn't it, at the show?
I think you had to get the VIP package. So, you know, that said, they are hard to come by, but again, you know, it's just not for me to drop $25 on a whim on ICP.
If that was a vinyl, maybe.
Yeah, I agree. I would pay that for a vinyl of that. Absolutely.
That's how much the fucking Ringmaster vinyl
I know,
is,
and
right?
Your train of thought was exactly the same as mine, because I almost pulled the trigger on Ringmaster last week, and I was like, ah, fuck it, I'll hold off. That ain't going nowhere. But that's worth $25 to me. It's a double record of the Ringmaster, and they're gold.
Right.
And they're tight.
Yeah.
It's like $27 on their site.
I mean, I'll frame that shit.
Yeah, it's super dope. But nah, I mean, I'll let the hardcore collectors have it. You know, it ain't for me anymore. Anyways, that's all I had to say. That was my only notes. But
Did you see the Demo Jams contest?
No, what's that?
Rappers, get ready to rumble. Tune into the next Juggler Show podcast, which airs on the 28th of March at 8 p.m. Psychopathic TV Winner Show. Demo Jams contest, a pyramid style competition, pits rappers against each other. Is it like that thing that we entered in years ago? Axe Murder Boys won?
Yeah, what was that shit called? Underground Psychos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The grand prize for this year's Demo Jams contest is 3 Gathering and Juggalos tickets, an opening performance spot on the main stage.
Hmm. That's pretty cool.
Be included in the official program. I guess it's just submit your music and you win this shit.
I didn't hear anything about that. That's pretty cool. At least I'm assuming you don't have to pay to enter, which is pretty cool, considering that's how Twisted does their fucking contests.
You should also include the following: artist, group, name, and city they represent, name of each song submitted, social media and music, video links, or any contact name and phone number.
That's pretty tight. I'd be curious to see how that goes.
Yeah. There's some pretty dope juggler rappers nowadays. I know back when we were doing it, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, we were literally like the best it got.
Oh, fuck yeah. No, I'm not even going to say that. I mean, we were okay, in my opinion. But nowadays, there are some really dope ones, man.
Yeah. All right. The only other thing before we get into the review, real quick, we'll touch on the Twisted controversy. New Twisted controversy, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead and set it up. I don't remember. I didn't watch the whole video.
So the last review, we kind of went in on Twisted a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after I did that, I was kind of like, yeah. We got a little emotional, I think. And it's, you know, because of the attachment and the support we had for him back in the day. And I just kind of felt a little shitty about it afterwards.
Yeah.
And then I went back and watched the whole Rude Jude interview. And, you know, they seemed like they were trying to just keep things moving and they didn't really want to bash ICP. And I believe that. I don't think they really, truly want to bash ICP in the public eye like that. Diss Records is kind of a different thing. So I agree with that. there were some things I said I did agree with, but I can't help but feel that they're still kind of trying to lie a little bit and just shrug off some important things. And there's some contradictions still going on with what they're saying. But
I watched about 15 minutes of Monoxide's rant in his car, which, let me say something. I thought that was weird. Does he always? I never watch his videos.
That's a normal thing. He does that all the time.
Okay.
He doesn't normally rant about, like, that's the first time he's ranted like that.
He usually just chills and, like, bullshits with people, I'm assuming.
Yeah, most of the time he just chills, talks to his chat, listens to Drake, and smokes a fucking blunt or something.
It is weird. Like, I wonder what his deal is. Is he, like, he's not allowed to smoke in his house or something? So he goes out to the car.
I don't know. I know he's got kids, obviously. It might be something
better acoustics
like that.
In the car.
Maybe. Yeah. Nevertheless, his newest one, he addresses what folks like us were saying last week.
Yeah, so after the Rude Jude interview, which was this big Shade 45 interview they did, Juggalos kind of just started flipping shit and being like, they're fucking lying. What the fuck? Because there's two main topics they said. They said the gang shit wasn't real. Or at least it wasn't, like, the FBI never considered a gang. They try to overplay ICP, just did the whole march for publicity stunt, which is true. I mean, of course it's what it was. It was to get publicity on the gang shit. They tried to play that down. And then they tried to play the Eminem beef. And then there's contradictions. Like, they said, oh, the reason why we left is because we had a disagreement on the gang stuff. Mm-hmm. But that contradicts what they've said before.
Which is probably about money, I would assume.
Yeah, and after that. You know, I think in the rant, Monoxide said something. We left because he kept giving us ultimatums. And
He did say that.
We didn't see eye to eye after the story he told on there, which is what I'll get into. Anyway, I'm just saying, like, I feel a little bad. We went in on him. I don't want to do that again, honestly. Yeah, I don't want to go in. I realize there's a lot of Twisted fans out there. I still have a soft spot for them, even though I said, you know, I always thought they were fake. That was a little overboard. I never really, like, totally thought they were fake. I really did accept them as, like, true Juggalo family back in the day for a long time. I really did. And it really did hurt. Not necessarily when they left, but when the backstabbing shit started happening and the dissing. That's when it really started hurting. Like, really? Like, and you're trying to play off this gang shit? Like, you know, they're trying to help Juggalos, like, clear their name, and, like, you're not willing to fucking help in that? Like, that's what really got me.
I saw somebody leave a comment on one of those videos, and they're like, you know, there's three sides. There's Twisted's side, ICP's side, and the truth, you know?
Absolutely.
If they contradict each other, you know, one of them's not telling the truth. So I'm going to say
there's probably truth to what Twisted is saying. There's probably truth to what ICP is saying. And there's probably lies on both sides. Neither camp is perfect. I mean, you know, so I'm sure there's a shit ton of stuff if we found about ICP, we'd be pissed about. Like, oh, what the fuck? Fuck these dudes.
I did think it was funny. One thing Monox, I was saying toward the beginning of that I did watch, he was like, yeah, y'all, he's like, y'all don't want to hear nothing bad about Jesus.
Yeah, he kept saying that. He's like,
which, I mean, I get it. He's got a point. You know, I was you know, that's probably a lot of what we were feeling last week too. You know,
his point was basically saying, like, you don't want to hear the stories I have because it will make you look at them differently.
Yeah, I would love to hear the story he has personally.
And I get that. It probably would. You never want to meet your heroes.
Yeah,
but also at the same time, like what CPN said was like, would it really surprise you if someone named Violent J from Insane Clown Posse was a dickhead and actually was a little crazy? He's like, that fucking doesn't upset me the fucking least.
I don't think that's a good excuse, nevertheless.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I get that to what he's saying. That's a funny thing to say, but you should be able to go into business with somebody who is obviously a successful businessman and not have to feel like, you know, they're your fucking boss. You know what I mean? Like telling you what to do every step of the way. So if that's what was happening, then by all means, I'm glad they got out. And I'm sorry that I shit talked him at all. You know, if that's really how it was, that's a shitty situation.
Exactly. And that's what I was wanting to say. If there is any truth to what they're saying, then I completely agree.
Yeah.
And I just wish the kind of, you know, all this shit with the backstabbing shit would just stop. That way I don't have to fucking.
Do you really believe that what he said about how Jay said, if you don't do this song, you're off the label? Do you believe that?
That's the thing. I don't know. I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. Jay has the power to do that.
Yeah.
This is what I was getting at. Jay, ICP, they had to invent what they did as they went. They had no one to look at. They kind of took after Isham and but everything they did, they did as they went. They invented things as they went. They had no one to teach them this shit.
Okay.
And of course they fucked up along the way. And like you said, the entire Juggalo culture is built basically on Jay's back. You know, you can say ICP and Jump City, he had a shit ton of help, but Jay's vision, Jay's ideas, this whole culture is basically resting on his back. Of course it went to his head. Of course he probably had some power struggles.
Yeah.
He had
fucking, I mean, it's his pride and joy. It's literally his livelihood, his life, all these, you know, lived
he
for the last 30 years.
He had panic attacks over this shit, man. He had panic attacks. He was medicated. He was addicted to drugs and shit, of course. So Monoxide goes into the story about they were doing a Lotus show. They were at this club. After the show, Monoxide's in the club. Jamie calls him and says, get the fuck out here. Jay's losing his mind. Jay is apparently outside so fucked up off something he doesn't even recognize who Monoxide is. So apparently Monoxide goes out there. What's going on? Jay, he says, Jay is so fucked up he doesn't even know who I am. Like he's like fucked up off some shit. Like I'm assuming pills. So he said Jay just came up to him and said, I saw you in there mouthing words to that Eminem song and you did it right to my face. So apparently Jay thought that he saw Monoxide in the club dancing on some girl and like mouthing an Eminem song to him, basically rubbing it in Jay's face. And this was during the Eminem beef, I'm assuming.
Oh, Jesus.
So, and obviously Monoxide is denying this, but he didn't really say he didn't do it. This is the thing. He never said, oh, I never did that. Like, I didn't really hear that. Maybe I should go back and listen to it, but I didn't hear that clearly. So it's almost like he's kind of leaving it open whether he did that or not. You know what I mean?
I mean, I could see him like doing it to be, especially if they're a club environment or some shit.
Yeah. And
it to be funny, like almost like.
And here's another
question. I'm Slim Shady. It's on there.
Yeah, but exactly. But he's also saying Jay didn't recognize him. Then how would he recognize him doing that?
I was wondering the same thing when you were talking.
That's another contradiction. Anyway,
I don't know who you are, but I saw you doing it.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. So yeah. Why would Jay care if it wasn't him? Anyway,
that's weird.
So a fight breaks out.
Oh,
Between them?
Yeah. I guess they split it up. Not between them, but I guess they split it up. And then Jamie and. Basically, they got kicked off the label at that moment. Cause he's saying they always got kicked off the label. They always got kicked off the label.
So that's like the kid with all the toys. It's like, you don't like the way I'm telling you to play with my toys. Yeah. Leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's basically like, we're walking back to the hotel because, of course, we're kicked off the label. They're going back to the bus, blah, blah, blah. And I guess what happened is Madrox was talking to Shaggy. Jay was standing off to the side. He snuck Madrox in the back of the head.
Whoa, really?
And then Shaggy turns around and starts beating. They both start beating on Madrox. And then I don't remember what Monoxide said. I don't think anything really happened after that. But it all got fucking broke up and they were kicked off the label. So basically Madrox caught fucking hands from Jay and Shaggy. And I guess Shaggy just instantly did it because, you know, obviously that's Jay. That's
sure, boy,
he's going to take his back and he probably didn't understand. But but yeah, so he said after that, he's like after that, we never looked at him the same again. And that's basically the reason why we never did anything. We didn't want to do anything with him after that. That was the beginning of the end, da da da. But is it that? Is that the reason why it was the beginning of the end?
He says that's the beginning of the end, but during that time with that whole Eminem beef, that was really the beginning of the beginning for them.
Yeah,
exactly. That's when they started getting big on Psychopath.
Yeah.
It's a contradiction. So how was that the beginning of the end?
Yeah, but you got to think, on that Rude Jude interview, he said, oh, we left because we had a disagreement with the march. They didn't want to sue the FBI and go to the march. Which is it? Is it the ultimatums and Jay in that moment would happen at Jay, or is it just the march?
It sounds like all of these things are kind of piling up. Yeah. I'm sure over the years, like each one of these events kind of adds to it. So depending on what he's talking about, he's probably just going to blame one or the other.
Maybe the March thing was like the straw.
That may have been. That might have been like finally, maybe all these things are the reasons they want to leave, but they, for whatever reason, don't think they can. Yeah. But then that happens and like, that's their loophole. Like, let's slide out. Yeah. You know, and, who knows?
And one thing too is you got to think contract. What kind of contract did they have, psychopath?
They were able to leave. I think they were able to leave at any time, and they could get. Okay. There was really no like legit contract.
But I mean, I'm sure if it is as bad as that sounds, it wouldn't surprise me if at that point Jay was threatening them with, you know, turning the Juggalos against them, and that's literally all they have. You know?
So if there is truth to that, I understand it.
Sure,
I get it. Like, I wouldn't be down with that shit either. So, you know, And he said some things in it that I questioned, but he also said some things that I felt. So,
yeah, I mean, everyone has like, you know, to kind of bring it back around, like everyone has dark moments and, you know, bad thoughts, and, you know, they do dumb shit throughout the years, and whether you're drunk or high or on something, you know, so.
And that's what I'm thinking. Why would that situation change the entire diamond dynamic? Yeah. Everybody fight. Imagine if we were all on a tour bus for fucking 6 months.
Yeah.
We would get into some shit, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, man. And especially if like everybody's getting fucked up and shit. I mean, of course something's going
to
happen.
Yeah. I mean, all of us here have done and said dumb shit to each other. You know what I mean? So
I don't see why that would be the one thing that changed the entire time. Maybe in the moment, but like, you should get over that after a while, right?
You would think, especially considering he's obviously like turned his life around. You know, Jay seems, he's got his kids. He seems like more like a normal dad type character anymore. Everything I'm seeing, and maybe it's a persona, the one side of the persona we're seeing, but you know, like I said, everybody has their moments, especially we all know Jay in particular has legitimately, you know, some mental disorders and shit like that.
And so does Monoxide.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Monoxide talks about he has anxiety and he's had panic attacks.
But if you don't think at some point they sat down with each other and talked like guys always do, where they're like, well, man, you know, sorry, I was a dick, dude.
Yeah, sure.
My fault. Let's move past the shit. You know, I won't do that anymore.
I'm sure they have done that. And you know what? I honestly still have faith that one day they will.
I mean, back then when all this shit was going on.
Oh, yeah,
or whatever.
Sure.
There had to have been conversations like that at some point. So
yeah, I mean, obviously you get kicked off the label and then come right back.
Right,
you
but
know,
to harbor all that shit and hold it in, like, oh man, we just really are still pissed about that. Yeah. Like,
yeah, why bring it up?
Right. Well, he was saying that like we never wanted to do that. We never wanted there to be all this beef between ICP, and I kind of believe that. But then he's done stuff on these little live streams, and they've said shit that like contradicts that.
Yeah,
like they're feeding it still.
Yeah.
So I, it's hard to figure out what to believe. But I just think he's a normal dude. That's, you know, he's contradicting himself. But if you kind of like weed through it, it's all there. It like the main point is like, I don't think they ever really wanted to do it like that. They just wanted to do their own thing. And maybe Jay still had hurt feelings and it just kind of escalated from there. And now it's, you know, at the worst point.
I think you just said it yourself, man. The best way to rationalize any of this whole situation is realize they're just normal dudes, man.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, I don't give a shit like how well known they are or not.
And that's what we talked about that on an earlier episode where, you know, as the years go on, you just kind of start seeing them more as just like a peer rather than, you know, someone that you put up on a pedestal and look at as Jesus Christ, like Monoxide.
And it probably did take Jay a long time for like that big headed power he had to kind of subside, you know? And he probably did have some issues like that in the past. And, you know, I understand that people who, when you're that big, I mean, pretty much a worldwide star.
Yeah. I wonder if he's ever, I know you brought it up before, but it makes you wonder like if he has done any like psychedelics or anything to kind of,
I know when he started smoking weed during the Shangri-La era, that really changed him.
Yeah.
That
you
really
could tell.
Yeah. That you really helped him out. Like Blaze got him to try weed and that took away all his panic attacks and that took away all his like stress and shit. And it really changed
all the anxiety and everything, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember him having like a stand up conversation, like on stage telling everybody like, what was it during the, it was during the Shangri-La release at the gathering. He was up on stage, like smoking, talking to everybody about it.
Mm. Yeah.
So,
yeah, man, he's, but again, like I said, I just, I guess I'm just apologizing for talking all that shit on Twisted. You know, you was still, we got a little heated during that.
Sure.
That interview was pretty fresh, and we were like, what the fuck? They didn't have nothing to do with Eminem. And like, we were kind of getting going off on that.
I'll probably watch the rest of that Monoxide rant or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I feel similarly. I don't take it like, I mean, I take it personally a little bit, I guess. There's something in me that still does, but you know, sitting on it for a week or however long, like, you do kind of start thinking, like, yeah, it's not that big a deal. You know, I'm not mad at you. It's just, I'm going to, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm still going to be kind of, anything you say, I'm going to take with a fucking grain of salt, you know, yeah, at this point.
But I also realize I'm going to do that with ICP as
well.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's a general reaction to anybody that is attacking, like, one of your childhood or your youth icons, man. Like, you know, when you don't have time to sit and process it, you're going to react that same way.
Yeah.
Like, man, fuck you guys, you know, whatever. Yeah.
It's like people denying MJ's a pedophile.
Right.
Same way, you know? Right. And you watch that fucking documentary and you're like, fuck yeah.
I'm not watching that documentary. I don't fucking deny that the guy was probably a pedophile, but his personal life choices have nothing to do with how his music was.
Hey, man.
I will
feel for you.
Whatever. This ain't a Michael Jackson podcast, but I was always a Michael Jackson pedophile denier.
Yeah,
like,
me
I was
too.
Always one of those people that's like, they just wanted money, and he was so weird they could get away with it.
Sure, I was that
blah, 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 blah.
Taking advantage of an innocent person.
Yeah, but that's I haven't watched it, so that's kind of still where I stand, and I really don't want to watch it because I love Michael Jackson so much.
Me too. I've had the same conversation with a few people, but I feel the same. I felt the same way, and I thought the same shit before I watched it, and I'm not saying that documentary 100% changed my mind, but it definitely,
you look
like,
at him in a wholly different light.
Yeah, I definitely like don't really want to listen to Michael Jackson anymore. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he's
so
just
it
like,
did totally change your opinion.
I mean, like I said before, I'll still listen to Beat It.
Why are they doing this
undeniable.
After the man's dead? Like, why? Yeah. Like,
I'm with you.
Let it rest, man.
I feel it. Yeah, leave
anyway,
it be. All right.
Not a Michael Jackson podcast.
All right. well, we said our piece, man.
So, like, yeah. So
Twisted, we know you're listening. We, you know, we'll keep our eye out
hit
on you.
Hit us up,
man,
all right? Hit us up. We'll have a discussion.
Let's talk about it. And you'll have to talk with some level-headed dudes about it, you know, just keeping it real.
We won't ask you to bullshit questions, you know. Right. Going forward,
yeah,
man. You know, just go forward.
Yeah.
Hit us up.
Madrox and I still have some unfinished business to discuss about a glow stick. So.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
All right, so
tell that story one time.
I don't know, maybe once.
we have a few riddle box show and tells we're gonna show off real quick. So I went through my chest of ICP stuff and I found a few shirts. Here, I'm gonna turn the green screen off so y'all can see it because riddle box is green.
Yeah, I got a few little trinkets I brought as well. Well, no, I just one little trinket.
I have this old ass riddle box shirt. Look at it, has a fucking hole in it and shit.
That's a fucking, I mean,
it's a classic.
Yeah, I like the old faded look on them, you know, like when they're brand new and fresh, it's like, yeah, okay, but
yeah, look, this one I even like sewed up, like
sewed it, you're like, oh shit.
I was like, I love this fucking shirt, but yeah, look, it has holes up here and shit. This is one of my first ICP, probably within the first 10 I bought.
Yeah,
at one point.
That's whoo, man.
I found this one. Which you never see this shirt anymore.
Dude, this one is awesome.
I love this picture.
That's one of my favorite ICP pictures.
Yeah, I used to have the poster of it too, but yeah, this shirt's sweet. Like it has the, this is the, I believe this may have been the first one they released that had the Wicked Clowns on the back. You know?
Yeah, that's a fucking killer shirt, man.
Yeah, this shirt is pretty dope. And then the last one I had was this one, which this was my favorite. I wore this actually probably the most.
Yeah, I remember you were rocking that one out a lot.
Just because it was unique. Like, there was no other ICP shirts like this weird, like, teal color.
Yeah, I don't ever remember seeing many of these.
Yeah, like, my whole closet was black ICP shirts, and I had, like, this one in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I always liked the colorful shirts, man.
Yeah, me too. But, yeah, this one just, this is the basic. This is just like the black one. It has the St. Cloud Posse riddle box on the back.
Yeah, you go to an ICP show, and you see fucking black everywhere, so color stands out.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was the three shirts that I had. I still have. I'm sure I've had more.
And, like, you know how old shirts, when they have a certain smell?
Yeah,
I mean, time. Yeah, like old shirts. I don't know if it's the fiber that just produces that scent or whatever. But
yeah. Let me see. Let me get another whiff. Sorry, I didn't mean to yank it from your hands.
No, you're good.
Yeah, it does still have that like old, and it's been in like a wooden chest too.
Oh, you can get that green screen back.
Oh yeah, my bad. Thought we were done with the green things.
Yeah, man. So this is something I made as a teenager.
Hell yeah.
It's on a piece of cardboard, construction paper. And then like I actually wrote in glue riddle box going across. It looks like shit, but.
That was like with that old like glue that you'd write on like shirts and shit with back
and
in the day.
And it's like, yeah, just construction paper and.
Is it bad, riddle box ICP?
Yeah.
Bad lighting.
98, man, is when I did this.
Damn.
98.
That's tight though.
And then what else did we have?
That was the only other thing I have. I bought that on a whim like a year ago or two. Year or two ago.
Yeah, this is what I've talked about. Now, I haven't researched it since, so I don't know exactly how rare this thing is.
Oh, but for the listeners, it's the 20th anniversary riddle box.
Yeah, but from what I've seen of this, it seems to be rare, seems to be hard to find, and if you can find it, it's pretty expensive. From what I've seen, you got the. I'm sure everybody has seen this before. Because they promoted it. I really love that disc.
Yeah, the disc is like gold. It's the same exact picture that's on the original riddle box, but it's just like silver and gold. It's
I love how it just sits in there like that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
The packaging on that is really cool. And they kept the booklet like almost identical, except inside the booklet, it has like little stories and shit about each song, which, I mean, that's my favorite part about it.
Yeah. I
love it.
That's why I wanted to get this so I could read those. Those are really so cool pictures.
Yeah.
Really cool pictures of
yeah, the little anecdotes. I mean, I could listen to ICP talk for hours about every song they've ever made. Like, I wish they did they did our podcast and just talked about every song.
I love the look of that era, their little dreads and the way the makeup was. It was a little sharper, it seemed.
Yeah, the original booklet that came with the original album, it was all artwork, like what's on the back, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Oh yeah, look, it even has a picture of like the Chicken Hunting single. I remember I had a copy of that at one point.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, that's tight. Show that one. That's there's a picture of ICP in like their orange and black face paint from a Hollow Wicked.
Shit's tight. Yeah, man. This looked like a pretty cool era to be part of.
It might be cool to skim through that when we're talking about the album too. We can see like what they say about it.
Yeah, I'll keep it out and we'll look through it.
Does it have a track list for the oddities too? Yeah. Okay, cool. Cause yeah, so for those that don't know, maybe a couple of years ago it would have been 2015 then? Is that when this came out probably?
Yeah, something like that.
So yeah, 2015 they released a 20th anniversary edition of Riddle Box, which it's gold, it's cool. It also comes with this Riddle Box oddities like disc that is all like shit they couldn't fit. It's almost like a forgotten freshness just for Riddle Box, you know?
Yeah.
So we've heard some of the stuff on here, but there's some of this shit I'd never heard until I got this disc. Which I love. Like, I can't get enough of that. Oh, they're saying this dude's saying he can't hear.
Really?
Look, it's moving right here, though.
Turn up your volume.
Oh, shit. I hope this shit is recording. Hold on.
Man, oh, man.
I know. You think I would have... You know what? I almost checked. I was like, oh, look, it's bouncing right there. We should be good. God damn it. Hold up. Testing. It's recording here, so it's fine. I don't know what's going on with the Facebook stream, to be honest. So as long as this is bouncing, we're good.
Okay.
I don't know why they wouldn't be able to hear it on the stream though. That boggles my mind.
Hmm. Oh, you want us to start just writing? I got like
write everything down. Writing. Hold it up in front of the screen.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, whoever when we put it up on YouTube, it'll have the audio. But sorry, I don't know.
Apologies. You know, we're not, you know,
we're no pros here.
We run into tech problems almost every fucking show.
I feel like maybe he just needs to turn his, oh no, you know what? The audio was working. Remember when I first brought it up on Facebook?
Yep.
It was coming through.
Yeah. Right.
So maybe he just needs to turn his shit up. We'll hold a sign up that says,
like, dude, your phone's on silent.
Dylan, turn up your, volume. Make me, oh dude. As soon as I read that, my heart sunk.
I know, man. It's the Ringmaster one.
Yeah. Did he tell you about that?
No.
Or did you? We did a whole Ringmaster episode. The entire episode. Find out the audio didn't record.
Yeah.
It sucked. So, but we redid it and it worked.
So the
out,
one
but.
You saw is like the second one.
Yeah.
Well, but, yeah, I probably wouldn't have seen the first one if you never uploaded it. Right?
No. I still have the video. Not that it
that should be like part of your blooper reel at some point. Here was an entire 2 hours wasted with no sound.
But I need to get in the habit of just setting this anyways just to have a secondary recording of it. But anyways, sorry about that. But anyways, the whole point is we were just talking about Riddle Box Oddities. I've never heard some of these songs, but you know, we'll get into all this shit here in a moment.
Yeah, we'll keep the book out. And
well, I like the fact that you guys are showing all the pictures and stuff, man, because it's really cool. This was the era where you started noticing the change in their makeup, like the face paint.
Yeah.
It went from like that classic Carnival of Carnage Ringmaster style where it was really similar for both of them.
Yes.
Where Shaggy and Jay started having like the change to define themselves.
Yes.
Like specifically. Yeah.
You're right.
I remember that personally, solely because this was the very first album I ever heard from them.
So tell us, if this is the first album you heard from them, what did you hear it? Like when did you hear it?
All right. So I heard this over the summer. God, I'm trying to remember what the release date was for Malenko. So it was pre Malenko.
Okay.
And
so you're already, you've heard ICB sooner than I think either of us at that point then.
Maybe, I don't know. So, I have a really good childhood friend of mine. I think you guys have met him, Jock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So his cousin came over to his house like one summer to hang out and brought Riddle Box cassette tape and left it at Jock's house. Like, yeah, man, yeah, I'll get another copy, whatever. And so I'm over there hanging out with Jock, probably smoking weed or something because I was young. And Jock's like, oh, you got to hear this new band. My cousin brought this over. So he pops in the cassette, and the first song I heard was Chicken Hunting.
Okay.
And I'm like, dude, this shit's kind of cool. It's weird, but I like it, you know, whatever. Yeah, kind of blew my mind. Not really. I was just kind of like, oh, this is cool. I'll check it out.
I got you.
So if you remember, like way back then, you know, CDs were a little more expensive. So cassette tapes were a lot easier to do, and you could dub them real easy if you had the little, cassette tape player thing. So I made a copy of the cassette tape so I could have one. And, dude, I just started listening to it every fucking day, like all day. Like I'd come home from school, pop it in, you know, my mom would still be at work and shit. I'd have the radio cranking. And it just kind of went from there, man. I was at school and I had it in my Walkman listening to it like in math class.
Okay.
And the dude that was sitting next to me was like, oh, you listen to ICP? I was like, yeah. He goes, their new album's going to be coming out here soon. And he was talking about Malenko. Okay. Dude, I didn't know that they had more than one album.
Yeah.
I thought Riddle Box was like the only thing they ever released. I was like, well, cool.
Sure.
So,
oh yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's odd for a band to have been, I mean, I guess it's not odd, but they've been hustling for 5 years by now at this point, you know, but I think that's a testament to how they kind of spread like a virus, because you may have heard it right before Malenko. I heard about them right after Malenko.
Yeah,
right.
I think honestly it was almost the same exact story. I heard them either the summer or whatever before the release of Malenko.
Yeah.
But my first album I heard was Tunnel of Love.
Okay.
The first song I heard was Ninja, because Dan let me listen to it
right.
in school, and he put it on that song specifically for me.
Right.
He's like, here, listen to this. I put it on, and that was the first song I ever listened to, and I was like, oh, cool. And yeah, and then that summer Malenko came out.
Yeah. And I'm not gonna get on a whole Malenko topic, but like that was a thing. Like Riddle Box became a staple for like my everyday, man. It was just every day, dude. I don't even know why. I took it with me in my book bag. I had it with me at home.
Because it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was sweet, man.
So this is Riddle Box is, actually, I heard Malenko, then I went backwards. Tunnel of Love, then Riddle Box. But Sean introduced me to Riddle Box. His like, Sean, I'm trying to get this barely loud. There we go. Sean's like older sister had a Riddle Box album.
Right.
And like as soon as Sean, he was our friend, he would like hear us, me and Eric, listening to Great Malenko or whatever. He like, yeah, my sister has like their last album. It's called Riddle Box. And like he brought it over one day.
Right.
And like we were laughing our asses off listening to Little Something Something and shit like that, you know? But, all right. So we'll go track for track. Just kind of give thoughts of what we think about each one. We don't necessarily have to listen to the whole thing, but we'll just kind of at least talk about every song. So what do you think about the intro, guys?
Great.
Yeah, it's cool. It's fine. The intro is, to me, I think it's, I love it. I think it's like a great, you know, it tells a little story, gives us a quick right breakdown here of what the Riddle Box is. You know, it's got the traditional clowny laughing and sound effects and all kinds of shit, but which this album is riddled, pun intended, with.
Yeah, he said the first intro you're talking about is this, or you're talking about the little skit?
The skit at the very beginning of the
album. The skit was cool. It always it was kind of different because Well, it was pretty much the same formula as the Ringmaster, I'd imagine, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but except the Ringmaster did the Wax Museum, which is like an intro and the track all in one.
All together. Did they break that one up?
Yes, the intro and then the song Riddlebox. This okay. is the second track.
It's track number two.
Yeah.
So the intro is fine. I mean, it's just a little, you know, has the dude listening in the car and shit. But then it goes right into the Riddlebox song, which is fucking awesome. You know, this song is... It's done perfectly well, just like the fucking Carnival of Carnage song and shit like that. You know, that's how I feel about it.
Right.
I mean, this song, they do a lot of repeating and it's a lot of chanting and shit like that and a lot of talking. So it's hard to like really like jam out to it as a song in particular, but I love listening to it. You know, I know every fucking word to it, even the talking part.
Dude, I used to jam out to it.
I noticed with this album, especially when I first heard this, the beats were starting to get really, really orchestrated and heavy sounding. As to where, if you listen to Ringmaster, it's kind of like, it's a lightweight feel compared to the how impactful these beats are on this album.
Okay.
They really just start getting, you know what I mean? It gets more
intricate.
Yeah. And I always, in the very first skit, I always, the song they were listening to.
What was it? Car. Do you know it?
I think it was Southwest Strangler, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think you're right. Let's go back to that real quick.
And I remember like, what is that? What is that song? What album is that song on? I always thought about it. And then Forgotten Freshness came out and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it is.
Southwest,
She makes my nutsack hard.
Yeah. I was always like, what are they listening
It makes your nutsack hard. That's such a funny line.
But the Riddlebox, man, that sample they're using, what is it? Another organ sample or whatever it is?
About ding, 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 ding.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's so
kind of keyboard.
Fucking carny sounding. I think it is. It's an organ.
Yeah.
Either that or it's a, I don't know, a xylophone. Is that what you call them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds awesome, though. I mean, this album has so many of those. Like, I noticed it just when I was listening to it earlier today.
Yeah, this really stepped up the carnival sound from Ringmaster.
And which is surprising, because last, on that album, we kept saying, like, Mikey Clark, you know, is fucking schooling this carnival sound.
But yeah, I mean, definitely Ringmaster is for sure, like, where they got that style down, but this definitely stepped it up.
Yeah, honed it. He honed that samurai sword by the time this album came out.
Yeah.
Dude, I really think this is the only album I have in my Spotify from ICP.
For real?
I swear I think so. I'm looking right now just to make sure.
Like, but every fucking really song is good, man. It's great. It's, you know, undeniable.
What do you think about the design of the card itself?
I love it. I fucking love it.
I do think it's one of the best designed.
Yeah. It's so simple, but like,
it looks
detailed at the same time.
It
for a two-tone picture.
Yeah. I've always admired that about it.
Yeah.
And they've done that, you know, with every card. It's, you know, it's such a minimalist, you know, like you said, the amount of colors they use, two-tone.
Yeah.
They still make it look awesome.
The color schemes they picked for the first deck was so great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, purple and green like that go so fucking good together.
Yep. And I can't see anything purple and green without thinking of Riddlebox. Right.
It's totally changed your perspective on color.
Same with pink and blue. Yeah.
I saw that on your wrist. I was going to say something already. Like, Derek dressed for the occasion.
Yeah. Wore my purple and green.
I'm sorry, Carver.
Yeah, who the fuck is this Derek dude, man?
but yeah, what do you think? You were done talking.
I love it, man. I love all the cards from the first deck. Yeah. I'm really particular to the Carnival of Carnage card. I love the color scheme. And like I said, the whole chain look with the big ICP emblem and everything. I love that. The jester hat. But I don't know. This is almost similar to that. Like, I really do think the Carnival Carnage and the Riddlebox, they go so like side by side. If you look at them, they're so well done.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, that's I've never considered that. But
Ringmaster's kind of, as much as I love that album, the card lacks a little bit. I still love it. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. It's obviously burned in my brain and I love it, but
mainly probably just due to the one color aspect of it. It doesn't like pop as much. Like, and if this was one color, it would not look as cool at all.
It's real sharp and skinny too. Yeah. And I really do think the almost the rounded edges on this one fit the album, how it's the album sounds.
Okay.
Like, the card goes so well with the album. You know, you can look at this and you feel like that's what the music is supposed to sound like.
Yeah. Hmm. This whole album gave me a feel of like more animated and kind of cartoony.
Yeah,
than any of the other albums, really.
Absolutely.
I mean, this one was more like the fun album.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like everything about it was just like comical.
I could see that.
Yeah, I will say this. When I heard this album, it definitely sounded cartoony. It's like the effects that you can hear on the voice, they use high pitch effects. They make them sound more clowny.
Yes.
There's more sound effects, cartoony sound effects going on.
Yeah.
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 So what's the next?
So this song is called The Show Must Go On, track 3. ICP classic. I love this song so much. This song is the perfect song to make track, you know, 3 right after the intro song and shit. I think you could argue that 3 Rings may have belonged in this spot better. But I think The Show Must Go On is an ICP classic. 3 Rings
should be track 3?
Yeah.
Well,
absolutely. Right. For that reason alone, it should have been track 3.
Right.
Well, right here in the liner notes, Violent J says, we wanted another anthem like Murder Go Round.
Anthem. That's a great word for it.
We wanted a big chant like in the opening of Ringmaster, like Murder Go Round.
Yeah. Murder Go Round. See, even they knew what they're doing. Yeah. They know they're building the formula. You know, the intro. The title track, yep, which is like a lot of chanting, explaining.
Ringmaster, they laid out the formula, and with this one, they just strengthened it and just built it even stronger.
And they keep doing this even today. Like Fearless Fred, I think, did the same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
They've strayed here and there,
mm-hmm,
but for the most part, yeah, they've always stuck to that formula.
I mean, at some point when you have the same repetitive formula going, you have to change it a little to try to see what the feel is, right?
Yeah.
So
we've talked about that too, and how this album kind of starts the trend of meaningful final songs.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
right.
songs yeah. that belong at the end of
right.
the album.
Yeah.
I think on your last show, you guys were talking about that a lot. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, man, that is true. Like there's always that one final, like album ender, man. And it leaves you hanging on that good note. Like, damn, that was good.
And I think we even said Ringmaster kind of lacked that.
Yes. Right.
So The Show Must Go On, great track. Not much else to say about it, but the next track. Oh, by the way, this skit is fucking priceless.
Oh God, yeah.
I was listening to this today and still laughing at this.
Who? Willie Redneck Balls. See there?
God damn it!
Is that Jay?
I think that was
Jay's on the
Legs
phone.
Diamond. This is Shaggy. Yeah.
Who in the hell is this?
Yeah, that's Jay talking too. Redneck fucking chicken boy.
Is he there?
God damn it. I don't know who this is coming in though.
Get the damn door.
That's Legs, right?
No. Yeah.
I have a delivery for Mr. Redneck Fat Balls.
That might be.
You goddamn little.
Those skits were so good, man.
Yeah.
They were just Jerky Boys quality.
So the next song, Chicken Hunting, goes down as one of the greatest ICP songs of all time.
This song here is the anthem of this album.
Yes. This is, and I think this is almost like a breakout. Like this is a breakout. This was ICP's, I think, breakout hit. Like Dead Body Man is arguable. Could have been. It was probably breaking them out in Detroit.
I would say it was this, dude. This has to be the one that was like the most noticed at its time.
Yeah, you could play this song for somebody who's never heard ICP, and they're like, "All right,
they know this and Dating Game."
Yep. Oh, excuse me, The Dating Game.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dating Game.
But yeah, man. I could rant and rave about this song all fucking day.
The Dating Game song.
Dating Game song. I like that song.
Yeah.
How many times have you heard that shit?
Oh, God.
I was listening to the song on this morning on my way to work. Like, it's a fucking masterpiece, if you ask me. I mean, it's so fucking good. As far as ICP goes, I mean, I say that loosely, obviously, but I don't know. I love it. It makes me feel good every single time. Yeah. Even though this song is like...
This was really like one of their most steadily played music videos too, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
I remember seeing this video a long time ago before I ever knew what ICP was, and it never clicked with me.
Right.
Yeah.
Until years down. It's like, I actually saw this video on the box like
way back.
And it was before I even listened to ICP for the first time. I just remember flipping through the box or something, seeing this video, and I'm like, what the fuck? And just like kept going or something.
Screw this. I'm going to VH1.
A box.
So this one says, Jive requested that we do a remix version of Chicken Hunting first. They had some lame-ass remix team from New York do a remix, but we hated it. So we took the best from what they did and worked our own new version, and that was the bomb.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to hear the original remix then. I don't think I've only ever heard the two versions of chicken hunting. I don't think I've ever heard a different one. Unless it's on this Oddities or something. I don't think so. Riddlebox Sampler Part 2.
So when you're saying the two versions, you're going to have to remind me again. My memory's not that great. What was the other version on? Was that on
Ringmaster?
It was on Ringmaster.
Yeah. Yes, okay. The original.
But it was really kind of dull, right?
Yeah. Like,
it wasn't as built up as this remake.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. That one was almost like a country tune.
Yeah. And I think somewhere in here, when Jive came to them asking them to do a remix, they didn't want to do it. They were like, no, we don't want to, we don't want to do it. Jive talked them into it.
Right. Well, let's be honest. It was a good song on Ringmaster, but it was great song on this album.
Absolutely. Exactly. We made the same assessment last week.
And that's probably what Jive knew, that song could be one of their anthems, which they were right. When it comes to record labels, sometimes they're right.
Right.
One thing that's interesting is on this Riddlebox Oddities, it says, "I didn't mean to kill him," which is, I believe, on Forgotten Freshness 2. Yes. It says it's a B-side to Chicken Hunting. It was a Riddlebox outtake.
The song.
That's I Didn't Mean to Kill Him. That song's so fucking sweet. I don't know.
Listen,
I don't
think. Wait.
I mean, I'd like to say I don't know what. I love it. I didn't mean to kill him. Kill him. Yeah, it sounds like it's from this era, but I was trying to think if it deserves to be on this album. But honestly, I don't think it's better than anything else on this album. I think they did a good job picking the correct songs for this one, to be honest. But anyways, I just thought it was interesting.
Sorry, dude. I'm starting to get lyrics in my head now.
Yeah.
You're like, see, man, that's Mr. Jimmy Bowell.
Here's the funny thing about Chicken Hunting. It says Shaggy in this liner note says, when we put Chicken Hunt on Ringmaster, it would go over so good. It was so catchy and the crowd always loved to participate. And the remix is just so different than the original. In fact, I think Ice Cube used the same sample of Colorblind on Death Certificate. And I think Jive Records knew that because the A&R guy Jeff Finisher said a couple. Okay, so he goes on, but that's pretty funny.
Yeah, this was a Slaughterhouse remix, right? This
one. Yes.
Yeah.
And then Violent J said it sucked flat out, so we went into the studio and did our own remix of it and borrowed some elements from their track and made it a lot crisper and cleaner and doper.
Okay. Well, that's pretty tight. I mean, at least they recognized it and fucking fixed it, because they, that was one of the best decisions they've ever made career-wise, I'll tell you that.
They redid the vocals, made them harder.
Yeah.
We still didn't really like the idea of having the song.
Oh, Toy Box. Yeah.
We'll go to Toy Box.
I was listening to this song today, and I've always liked this song. I know every fucking word, but I was really just listening to it intently and concentrating on trying to listen to the words, the way he raps, the sounds in the background. Like, this song is really, really fucking well put together.
Oh yeah.
It's so fucking good.
Yeah. Dude, I love it, man. There's just the whole story he tells over everything, the whole background from his dad and how he would go up to the attic and build his own little mad scientist workshop of toys.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And then he takes him to school for show and tell. Like,
it's so tight. All the little sound effects, like the slide whistle, the fucking the wee wee. I was really admiring all the sounds Mikey Clark put in this shit, because
it's insane.
It takes a lot of fucking skill to mash together a lot of weird, wacky sounds, let alone make them sound tight. You know what I mean?
Well, check this out. It says, it's a Toy Box. Violent J says, Toy Box took days to record. Fucking days. Shaggy 2 Dope says, we had VCRs set up and we were going through different shows looking for samples. We had shit from Pee Wee's Playhouse. Just the music alone took four or five days.
That's from Pee Wee.
To put together all the switch ups and everything. And then we had to go back and redo some of it because we couldn't just jack Pee Wee's Playhouse, because we knew we'd get sued. Jay's like, we were just constantly looking for sounds, toy noises, clown noises. It took forever to find and assemble all these sounds and then put them together to the beat.
Damn. Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. This song is you could tell they spent some fucking time on it.
Yeah, it really is one of the most orchestrated songs on the album.
Well, so let me apologize then. I was giving Mikey Clark all the credit. Obviously, this was a team effort,
Yeah, I'm sure Mikey Clark was behind the boards, and they were all going through it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, this song is super dope. It's
my
one
double blade razor whip chop Jimmy. What the fuck is that?
I know, some of the funniest lines too.
I'd say this is one of the dopest songs on the album, but every fucking song is.
It is really.
Song.
It's one of my favorites on the album for sure.
Yeah,
I think it's an ICP staple.
Yeah, it's always great when they played in concert and shit. I don't know. All right, moving on.
Yeah, he says something about screaming the verses. It was a challenge.
Oh.
And if you hear him, he is.
Yeah.
Like, listen to his voice,
That's
man.
Not a toy. Hey, wait a minute.
I mean, imagine him, like, in the studio.
Don't fuck around, homie. You can lose an eye.
Yeah, I mean, he was loud, man. There was so much energy behind. That's what it was back then. The energy behind their verses and just how they recorded was crazy. Hmm. You don't hear that with most rap. You know, most rappers are laid back and just boring.
You know, and I've always kind of like, and that's a great point you've brought up, because I do listen to some rap and I'm like, I admire like how casual they sound, because as someone who has attempted rap, it's hard to make yourself just like kind of talk and sound casual while you're rapping, you know?
It's hard to make it sound effortless.
I've always like, anytime I did, I'm more like Jay in this song where I'm like, 100% so much effort and yelling and you know, like to me, that's like, that comes more natural than talk rapping. So
he says, I remember being in the vocal booth just sweating because there was no air conditioning.
Oh my god.
And I was just screaming at the top of my lungs.
Wow.
Yeah,
god damn, I'd love to see like footage from that.
Yeah,
you know, has there ever been footage of ICB in the booth?
It probably,
I've never seen any.
I mean, I think they did some of like the Lotus Pod or whatever it was, but they did like recording stuff. I think they had like some like backstage like footage of that.
I think they had a video where they're in the booth.
Really?
There's a video like, this is for my people.
Oh, okay. I think there's
video of,
I don't remember.
Or maybe, I don't know, Lotus Pod, but they're in a booth.
It's been a long time since I watched that. Yeah. All right. So the next song, Cemetery Girl. I have an opinion about Cemetery Girl. While I do like this song, and I always have liked it, I've always gotten the feeling like I'm missing something, because I always felt like at shows, especially, like, people go ape shit over this fucking song.
I love this song. Yeah, it is one of, it is probably my favorite on the album.
Really?
I'm not gonna lie.
Like, tell me why.
I don't know, because the beat is so chill but just perfectly orchestrated, and his fucking lyrics are just amazing in this. I think the lyrics are so tight and well done in this.
Okay.
Tight, like as in everything's perfectly mixed.
Yeah,
this is one of the best mixed songs on the album.
What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm gonna have to agree with
Carver.
Yeah, Carver. It's you feel it, dude. It's like, it's real fluid through the whole song. Like the beat and everything's just real steady.
Yeah,
and like his lyrics are just steady with it the whole time. You don't really hear him like over trying or trying to overdevelop the song. It's just, it is what it is. It's real just mellow and chill, and it rolls through. And again, the story with it's pretty cool too.
It's one of the most head bobbing beats, like actual hip hop head bobbing beats.
I love the sounds in the background, like the, hold on, wait,
the chorus. The
boom.
Yeah,
I don't see this song making you want to like get up out of your chair and like jump or anything, but you can really get with it. Like, yeah, man, like this is just
real. Yeah, I mean, I enjoy listening to it. It's honestly one of my least favorite on the album.
I would agree with you.
That's crazy. It's one of my favorites, if not my favorite.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it goes to show that being old school Juggalo, you still have some.
I mean, I won't go.
Opinions,
I won't go into it anymore. But yeah, it is one of my favorites.
Wow. I mean, I love it, and I'll keep listening to it. And
it's one of my
trying to find what I might be missing there. But you know, I think I do appreciate. I think I like the beat most of all as far as the song goes. But I think the chorus maybe isn't the best to me.
I don't know. I like it. Send it to me, baby. Send it to me. I don't know, man. I love it.
Okay. All right. Next song is Three Rings.
Hello? You have a collect call from...
The whole fuck off, like, skits and this shit is, like, on point. Love it. Three Rings, though, I think is a fucking perfect song all around. I think it's one of those songs that like ICP had to make. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like it's so ICP.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
This would, if you were to put an album of just like the carnival songs and clowny ICP songs, like this has to be.
Yeah, this
on
is
it.
It. This is a staple for
it's
that.
It's great.
Let me ask you about the version of Three Rings that this is compared to the version of Three Rings that's on like what's Forgotten Freshness Volume 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I like that version of Three Rings better than this one.
They do have there's very few things that are different. It's mainly just it's probably a grand total of, I don't know, 10 lines or so.
Yeah, something like that.
But it is interesting. I don't know that I like one more than the other. Right. I kind of just interchange them in my
content.
Mind.
It was the content of those 10 lines that I felt went better.
Yeah.
But what now, was that one the original Three Rings and then they re-recorded and put it on this album?
Yeah, because there is one on this Oddities album that says early mix.
Right.
And I think that's the one that's on Forgotten Freshness 1.
I believe so.
Well, Shaggy says, this was originally on Fuck Off. The original release of my solo Fuck Off single was just two songs, and we did a release with Three Rings and Clown Love and added to it. But it was just a local release at the time. It wasn't a Joker's card, but Three Rings was such a great song, we decided to use it on Riddlebox. So that might be part of it,
right?
They just probably had some shit that maybe they didn't particularly like. I'm like, let me just switch some of these lines. Like, here's one. I'm Shaggy too, dope. Shake your face, bitch. Oh, try to play me out just cause I'm an albino.
Right, like there's simple shit like that.
Yeah.
And then
baby.
Apparently they jacked the beat.
No.
Like Mike added some horns and drums and shit, but beyond that, we straight up jacked the break beat.
That's tight. That's funny.
Mm-hmm. We used to go to record stores and just buy records of instrumentals and break beats.
So this song is also tight because they do eat, like, Jay does the first verse, Shaggy does the first verse. So each one has their own ring. Then the third verse, like, ring three, the ICP.
Yeah,
and then
they come together.
Then they both just go back and forth saying goofy shit. Yeah. You know, Shaggy's talking about how he's born with a wang, but he never had a nutsack.
Yeah. I remember when I first heard this album as a teenager, this was probably my favorite song on the album at the time. Yeah,
I love it. I think this song also kind of grew on me as the years went on, but I loved it. I liked it right off the bat. There's nothing I disliked, I don't think, even from the beginning on this album, but there's songs that, like we've talked about before, that was my song for a while or maybe grew on me or whatever, but yeah, this song is on point.
There's still a few things they say in the song I don't understand what they're saying, though. I'll say that. And that's one reason why I love Cemetery Girl. Every single line I understand completely.
It's funny you say that because there's some shit in Cemetery Girl I literally have no fucking clue what he said.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. There's a couple things in this, like Shaggy's verse, I think he says a couple things I don't get.
Oh, really? This is the last verse.
I think I get all this one, but yeah, I can't remember exactly what lines. But yeah, there's a few things I'm like, what? I still to this day don't know what he's saying.
Man, that's weird. Yeah, it's funny that you say that because I don't think there's anything I don't know on this song.
Really? I've never been one to like look up every single lyric.
Yeah.
So there's definitely things I don't.
I was that guy for a while, but back in the day, looking this shit up, Ice-B didn't put it in the book. Like you had to go off some other Juggalo's interpretation, and I would always find like that shit is wrong as fuck.
Right.
Like Faggot Lover's lyrics are often wrong and shit. They'd have literally like a question mark on some of the lyrics.
Right. Yeah, it just shows you that some, you know, there's still some people that don't know what the fuck they're saying.
Yeah. All right. The next song, Headless Boogie.
This was an ass song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a song I didn't love right off the bat, but it like at one point it became my song. Like I remember jamming out this song with Eric and Sean a lot, but I think it's dope as fuck.
Yeah.
I like the story. Jay's voice. The one thing about this song is Jay's voice kind of gets annoying to me.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm like, oh my god! But I do like the song.
Okay.
As far as obviously, it's the old shit. It's a fucking amazing classic song. But if I would have to say something, maybe the voice is a little
okay.
Did the dumb shit.
The best part about the song is at the end where he's like, I want to be the headless clown.
Yeah, that part
and
is
I'm like, good.
I mean, I give him credit for being so cartoony and funny.
Yeah.
But it's just not one that has like incredible replay value to me.
I don't know. This song just, I love like fucking grooving in this song, man. I wouldn't say this is one of my favorite songs, but I mean, this album is one of my favorite albums ever. So
I love the hook to this. I will say that.
I cannot legitimately hate on any song on this entire album. Yeah. I love the whole album front to back.
Same.
But if I had to like choose my top three. Yeah.
Like,
no, this isn't it.
Nah,
even Kurt Cobain stepped in line or got in line.
Which I thought was funny because this came out in 95. That was just like a year after.
He didn't die till 96, right?
Oh. Conspiracy.
No, I'm just playing.
There you go.
So, Valiant J says, we were worried about Headless Boogie because when we first heard it, we thought maybe it was too pop, happy, and too commercial sounding.
Ooh, okay. It's in line with your thinking.
Shaggy 2 Dope, and I was about to say this. This is like a clubby dance song, and Shaggy 2 Dope says that right here. It's a straight-up dance song, and we had never done anything like that before.
Hmm.
And it is. If you, the beat is a dance beat.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I feel like when I hear this song, I feel like you can picture people dancing.
Yeah,
exactly like their lyrics say. You see like a line of people like dancing, like almost, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that might have been what they had in mind when they wrote it.
And maybe, and I mean, but you're never going to get that at a show. No.
Yeah. this is kind of along the same lines of like Southwest Voodoo, I think, or kind of like that type of song.
Okay.
In the lyrics, there are legitimately dance instructions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take a step back, twist and dive.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I don't know. I like
lean
it.
To the left and slide.
Any other words on Headless Boogeyman? I know you're reading there, but
he's saying something about the hook took a long time because that was before we ever tried to develop any kind of singing chops. I don't know really what that means. The DJ guy voice in there is supposed to be like a clowny wolfman Jack. I don't know what the hell that means.
Also, maybe that's he's putting that voice on purpose.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. The next song is The Joker's Wild.
Their first legitimate game show song?
Game show song.
Yeah.
I'll say I love this song. Yeah. I love the beat.
Yeah.
The beat is just so fucking grimy when it kicks in.
Yeah, this song is great. It's such a, like, I don't know. It's one of those songs that, especially as a new ICP fan, like you listen to and like they really paint a picture. You know, with this fucking song. And they've done, and as you guys have both said, it's their first game show song. Like, they've done several songs, like, in the same vein by now. Right. But this song is, it was done so well. It's great. I mean, I would put this in the same vein as, like, even, like, Amazing Maze and Halls of Illusions and shit like that. Because, like, they're still, like, just killing the people and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like,
you're all dying at the end, but it's just funny to get you there.
Yeah, it's just a funny way to do it.
Yeah, so this is another one where they're saying this one took forever. And I love Jay's voice in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said there was a game show back in the day called Joker's Wild. We never saw it. We just thought the name was fresh. This was another one like Toy Box where the challenge is getting all the sounds together. It took a lot of time piecing the shit together. Jay says this song was a lot of hard work, man. It took forever.
I bet.
Yeah.
Said, now that's gonna cost you a while.
No sound effect libraries. You couldn't get on YouTube. You actually had to go and find old school records and sound effect records. Yeah. He said we really have to give up the mic. He played all that game show music. We pretty much came up with the beat.
I mean, it sounds great. It sounds like it's a fucking game show. You know what I mean?
No, the correct answer would be your mother.
I love it.
Yeah.
Shaggy screaming. It's great.
Yeah, this is a fucking amazingly orchestrated song. Like, this set how clever they could piece shit together, like the game show thing.
Ding, even that part, like,
free money!
Yeah, spin again.
Yeah. I thought this was one of the funniest on the...
Oh, yeah. This song like just goes to show like what ICP's capable of. You know what I mean? It's really a production.
Like a pinata.
Like this is obviously shit. This is not a song they wrote and recorded in a day. You know
and
what
the
mean?
Timing of it.
Yeah,
like it's just fucking. I don't know. It's great, man.
Oh, and the Faygo break.
Faygo.
Everybody knows this.
Yeah. Classic.
And then they bring the beat back in with it. You know, oh god, that shit's tight.
Welcome back.
So tight. All right, I can suck this song's dick all day, I guess. But
oh, hit or miss. What was his name? Bink Chipperwink.
Yeah. Yeah, good one.
He said it probably took a week to put this song together.
Damn.
You can tell the effort. Yeah. You can tell.
And then Dead Body Man.
Yup. This song. Oh my god, bro.
Yeah, this one of your favorites on the album.
Hits, dude. The bass in this song, man. Back in the day when I had a system in my car.
Yeah.
Remember that in your truck when you're pumping Dead Body Man and it would like vibrate the wheels off?
Fuck yeah, dude. I love this song. We sweated this song's nuts last week when we talked about Terror Wheel. That was the debut of Dead Body Man.
Right.
Which is interesting. Like, as much as they obviously like to shuffle lyrics around and change shit up, like, I'm pretty sure the version on Terror Wheel is identical.
Yep.
Like nothing has changed. They copy and pasted.
But Shaggy says, when we were in the middle of laying it down, we were just like, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just knew.
Yeah.
Knew they were onto something, man. This song is, I mean, this is the epitome of this again, you know, just like we keep saying it over and over, I feel, on this album. But so the epitome of what ICP can do, you know, like this is the kind of shit you would expect from ICP.
Yeah. And when you listen to this song, and I'm only saying this because this was like one of the ones that it was like I had to play with bass, man.
Yeah.
And if you listen to it without it, you don't really hear it. But the lows are so low, and they just hit you right in the chest, dude. It's like, boom.
It's good. I love it.
That's good. Yeah.
He says, the beat was this devastating. Mike had the majority of the beat, and we did the record fast, man, all in one day.
Damn.
And that literally song, yeah, and that song became a huge hit. Alex went down to the radio station to try to get him to play on a different song. I think it was Schizophrenic. I don't know what he's saying there. Tried to get some radio. All of a sudden, to our surprise, they just started spinning Dead Body Man.
So
yeah, I remember him saying in the book they played this in Detroit on the radio.
Damn. Yeah, that song is like, as far as ICP songs go, it's damn near perfect.
Yep.
I mean,
it was perfect enough to put it on two albums back to back.
Yeah, how fucking good it is. Yeah. I mean, if you were to make a like top 10 ICB like unequivocal their best songs they've ever done, this would probably be on it.
It should be. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think it's fair.
In the top 20, easy.
Easily.
I mean, you got to think about how many albums they've released.
Yeah.
There's some really golden songs.
And obviously, it's subjective, but I mean.
Let's stick with the first set, right?
Yeah.
Definitely yes. Top 10.
Yeah, I would say that too.
But I'm trying to like look over his shoulder and like see what the next song's coming up. mentally prepare myself. I don't remember the track list.
They saying some interesting shit about Dead
Body
Man.
They're just talking about they did a show in Toledo with Outkast. And it was all juggalos. Yeah, it was all juggalos, and Outkast got shitty and jealous and got mad because Faygo got on their turntables and shit.
So, yeah. That's why it's so tight having that copy. Yeah.
And he said when Dead Body came on, the juggalos lost their minds.
Oh,
and just
fuck
went crazy.
Yeah.
Oh,
I could just see like Evil Dead on stage, like coming out to this fucking song, like you know, fucking dumping Faygo in the bin.
It's definitely we've seen it.
Yeah. I will say this: with people back in the day when I started getting into ICP, people who didn't like or know of ICP knew of this song.
Really,
it was weird, man. Yeah. There's people I work with or stuff, like. Yeah, I don't really know. Do they do that Dead Body Man song? Like, people just knew about this song.
Yeah.
Like, that song is hard. That song is, oh, man, that song is dope. That song is tight. Like, Like, that's the only song they knew and played.
This is, like, the single, obviously.
Yeah, this song made it to Ohio. Yeah. Like, it spread from Detroit. It became a huge hit in Detroit and spread to Toledo.
Hmm.
And it made its way down here. And people knew about this song. And ICP, just in general, in Columbus is one of the first cities, aside from Detroit. Detroit, Toledo, and Dallas.
I wonder how ICP actually like hit down here, because for it to happen like all at once, like I doubt anyone in Columbus was listening to ICP before like Riddlebox.
Dude, it happened like all at the same time. Like he said, the first time he heard ICP was pretty much the first time I heard it, and everybody around me, it literally like hit overnight.
It's interesting how that happened.
Yeah. It just got down here.
Who's patient zero, you know?
Yeah, it just got down here through Toledo, man. People going back and forth.
Pretty sure
Toledo.
Derek heard it through somebody's cousin too, so it could have been the same cousin. Yeah.
I heard it from Dan. He heard it from his cousin.
See,
Bob.
There you go. Yeah,
I don't know if you ever met him.
I don't think I did. But
I mean, it would be interesting to start tracing that back, because I know I heard Great Malenko from my cousin Ryan, who heard it from his friend Tim, and I don't know where Tim heard it. Probably from Dan's fucking buddy.
Heard it from his cousin Bob.
Really could be. Cousin Bob might be patient zero.
I think Dan's cousin Bob was he did BMX. Scene.
Oh, okay.
And I think it might have been kind of big in the BMX crowd. I'm not sure, but
they're all into like underground shit and stuff.
And I know he went like he probably traveled up and down like you know through Ohio or at least locally around to do
that
shit. Yeah.
All right. So a little something, something. What do you think about this song?
I used to love it.
Yeah.
I used to love it. Obviously, nowadays it just can't fly.
Yeah.
No.
It's hard for it to fly nowadays. Yeah.
I'll be honest. If you knew any females back then that were into this album, this was their go-to song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
I loved this song back in the day for sure.
Yeah. So if you were hanging out, this is the song you put on. to like get them in like in yeah. that mindset.
Okay. I mean, it is like it does have a like
because when you're 15, groovy, 16, sexy beat, man. Yeah, when you're 15, 16, girls were like all about the music.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, this song has like the girl like in the background and shit. Hold on, isn't she on the hook?
Oh yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's like that weird like porn clips and shit.
So yeah, here you go. We found all the dialogue samples on the song on these obscure records from the 60s that Mike had in his really vast record collection. And they were all these old porno records and they were just crazy shit. You'd hear shit like this bitch being fucked and it was so terrible and corny that it was awesome.
That's so tight.
Well,
I wish they still did shit like that, you know? I mean, I think there's a certain charm, like, from a lot of their older shit with those old samples and clips and stuff. Man, I love that stuff.
Jay said, the acting on those records were so bad, we loved using it. It was so perfect for ICP. People were like, where the fuck did you get that? And once again, it was just us finding crazy old records.
That's funny, dude.
That's what hip-hop was built on.
Old 60s porn. Like.
Yeah. I never even knew there was audio records of porn. That blows my mind.
I feel like they recorded it and then separately recorded an audio track and then just meshed it together.
Oh, probably. Yeah,
I mean, that's probably
I've done shit like that. That's exactly how you do shit.
When you made your porn?
Yep. Oh yeah.
You always mess your audio to your video later.
God.
Yep. Oh, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I actually still like this song. I'll rock out to it. Can't play with the kids in the car, but you know, I'm not skipping this shit. I'll tell you that right now.
No, I wouldn't skip it. I mean, it's still.
So, this is the first song I heard off this album.
He says, we always like to put good sex songs on a record, especially back then. Sex raps were a lot more popular. To this day, we still like to put at least one sex song on an album. Little Something Something was our sex song we used to call the girls up on stage when we perform it. It's just an ICP classic.
Right.
We don't do that much anymore because the barricades are so far from the stage. Okay.
They really looped like her fucking sex sounds into the track. It's like repeated it like...
It's been so long since I fucked.
Right.
All right.
A Scarface song inspired the hook.
Wow, really?
Yeah, that's what Shaggy says.
I'd be curious to know what song. Does it say?
No.
It must have been a horrible porn, though, if you just listen to that part where she goes, my legs don't bend back.
My legs.
And I think they probably used some of the same stuff on Tunnel of Love.
Right? Oh, yeah. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Maybe those records inspired a lot of Tunnel of Love.
That could have been, yeah. I think that song took off really well, man. We'll just do a whole album kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With that thought behind it.
The cover they used for the picture on Tunnel of Love seems like some bullshit that would be on one of those records.
Yeah.
All right. The next song. One of my favorites on this album, yes. Oh Evil Eye.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, I think everyone.
So I would love to hear this. Like the intro to this is good, dude.
Yeah. But
funny thing, my oldest daughter.
Yeah.
They read The Raven, Edgar Allan Poe. They read it in school.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, cool. And I was like, listen to this. And
yeah.
I played the fucking song, dude.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it was like my way to contribute.
It's such a great rendition, you know, because everybody knows the story of the Telltale Heart, which is what the song is for those who may not know.
Yeah, Telltale Heart. I didn't mean The Raven. You know.
No, it's okay. Yeah, I know. They're both Poe. But yeah, like the way they rap in this song, like it's almost like. It's borderline like the fastest they've rapped up to this point, I'd say, you know, and but they're still telling a coherent story, beginning, middle and end. The hook is tight as fuck. The beat is tight as fuck. Like the way I've always loved like the way Shaggy's verse starts out. He's like, a day gone past. That's I heard about J.O. Man, I'm finna slay because I don't fucking play. You know, like he's like going to go get his buddy's bag.
Right.
Like he's fucking going to go kill the dude. Shit. Like it's such a tight rendition of this story.
Yeah.
Like,
in their liner notes in this, they're just saying how different it is. You know, he's like, the beat was a lot different from the rest of the record. It's a lot faster. It almost has a house mix feel to it. It was another song that we weren't sure about. We weren't 100% on that. A lot of people like it. It's different. It's weird. The way we wrapped the verses turned out really cool. And Shaggy says, I think it's reason why people like it is because it doesn't sound like anything else on the record as far as the delivery.
Right.
It does, but it still but it still fits so beautifully, you know, with all the other like songs. It's not like you listen to this album and be like, this song's a weird standout song, you know? Like they all have are so unique that you don't even like register that.
Yeah.
You
know? It's honestly one of my favorite ICB songs ever. Like I love the rapping on this. It really has like a hip-hop, a true hip-hop feel, but with an ICP twist, rather than ICP with a hip-hop twist.
Yeah.
The structure of the song in itself is really what gets me. You've got this narrator that's reading the Telltale Heart.
Yeah. Right?
And then it goes into their lyrics of, like, what was going on and how they did all this stuff, you know? And I'm just like,
yeah,
it's pretty good, man. I mean, if you think about it.
Yeah, it's awesome how they, like, kind of melded all that shit together, and it just sounds so fucking good all together, you know? Yeah.
It's funny. It's like we had to record some of the we had a record of some narrator guy doing Edgar Allan Poe story, but then we had Rich redo it and flip it up so we wouldn't get sued.
Yeah, that's Legs Diamond.
Yeah.
So there is another version of this song, which I let me see if it's on this. Now this just has the old Evil Eye instrumental, but remember like the other last week when I found that those old ICP albums I have on my computer here. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. I have an album called, it's like a bootleg ICP album called Carnival of the Dead, which has like a bunch of shit that I had never heard up to that point. And actually a lot of it is on this Oddities album.
Yeah, that was thrown together like before that came out, right?
Correct. Let me see if I can pull this up here. Sorry.
Like you found this, obviously.
Correct.
Online.
Yeah, this is just a random like download somebody made to put up as a torrent or something. Yeah. But okay. Here it is. Like I'll play it and you can see we'll spot a few differences here. Let me see.
Is it the same story?
Yeah.
I loved the old man.
This is the beginning.
You'd never wronged me.
Yeah, this is probably the actual the original Edgar Allan Poe sample.
It's interesting that they didn't put that on this Oddities album.
Probably because of the sample.
It might be.
They don't want to get sued.
Even the sound effects are different and shit.
Yeah, a little bit.
But yeah, the verses I believe are exactly the same. I could be wrong. It has a weird effect on his voice.
Like hollow.
Yeah. It's kind of tight.
That sounds creepier, dude. I like it.
Man, I love the way they rap on this.
Me too.
Like when I heard this, it could have been like lumped in with like so many other hip hop out at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. It almost has like a wicked like East Coast sound to it.
Okay.
Like the East Coast rap that was out at that time was like like Wu-Tang and stuff like that going on, Method Man.
Sorry, dude, I'm hearing this right now and I'm liking this.
It's
almost got like a little echo to his voice, and like he sounds like he's in a large room. It's kind of hollowy.
The beat also sounds a little different. It's almost like the same beat, but they turned some stuff up and down, right. Like kind of just mixed it a little differently.
The hook to this is so epic.
Yeah, it is.
God. Definitely one of my favorite ICP songs of all time.
I could see people like a non-juggalo kind of like listening to this album and this being like a forgettable song almost, but because you really have to pay attention and listen to the lyrics for the song for it to really like stick. That said, I love how it sounds, but
yeah, the song as a whole is great. Maybe some of the lyrics don't pop like ICP lyrics usually do. That's probably because they're rapping a little bit faster. Yeah. And up to this point, ICP hadn't really got to this speed yet as far as the tempo of the beat.
It sounds like the same recording, but maybe they may have sped it up a little bit on the real
this sounds
release.
Slightly on the real release sounds faster. This definitely sounds like slowed down some.
I love this beat so much.
Stare, no a gaze, no a stare. Kind of like there was no one there. How weird.
The beat is so atmospheric.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it definitely puts you in like he said, like an open space, like an open space, but also like a claustrophobic feel.
Okay.
Like I hear that little echo in their voices, but then. I don't know. I like
it's for sure spooky. Like they went for a horror movie spooky sound.
Yep. That's pretty good, dude.
They said they wanted to get monks. They wanted to get like monks to chant this, but they couldn't do it.
That sounds so tight the way they did, though. But I ain't mad at them. All right.
That would be cool.
So we're all in agreement that that song is fucking amazing.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah.
So the next song on this playlist, it says deleted off of here. So we're going to have to. What's track 14?
12.
It's 14 is 12. Yeah. I thought you were correcting me. 12. Oh, my bad. I'll play it on here. It's all right. I got it right here.
What track is Three Rings? Four? Cool.
All right. Hold on. Let me get 12 queued up here. I thought I clicked 12. Oh, I clicked 12, little something, something. God damn it.
Damn you. This is track 13.
I know. It's so weird how they did it. And you know what's interesting is the way they ordered it. Let me see if it's on the oddities like this. Yeah. So this is on the real Riddlebox album too. And this has always fucking bugged me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They, on the album, when you play it in a CD player or whatever, it's 16 tracks.
Right.
There's intro, Riddlebox, da da da. And then there's interview right before Three Rings or right before Toy Box, one or the other. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he's like, hello, I'm here with blah, blah, blah. So that's how you get 16 tracks.
Right.
On the back, 14 tracks. Guess what's number 12?
12.
12.
Right.
According to this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's always kind of fucking bugged me about this, to be honest.
Goddamn.
They easily could have just combined intro and Riddlebox. They easily could have combined an interview and Toy Box or whatever, and then made 12 the 12 fucking track.
You know
what?
Why didn't they just put numbers next to them? And then on song 12, they should have just put 14.
Number 14
is song 12.
Yeah,
they at least could have spelled out 12.
I think that would have been a better idea, honestly. All right. You know, we're sitting here not even listening to the song, but I just wanted to gripe about that. That's always been something that's bugged me about ICP's, about this album.
Here's a little tidbit that I think I've actually thought Jay's writing, and I think I've thought this before, but then I think I corrected myself after a while. But Jay says, it's about a jury of 12 and a guy who was sentenced to death by them for the crime he didn't commit. So he comes back to kill all 12 that condemned him. But a lot of juggalos have said to me that he only kills 11 of the 12.
Right.
By my count, he kills all 12, but some people have speculated that he doesn't kill the last one. I've been wanting to go through the lyrics and see what they're talking about and what's causing the confusion. If there's a mistake in my writing and he does only kill 11, maybe he'll come back and kill the last member of the jury in a future song. But my count, he kills all 12.
That's interesting. Oh, which, by the way, does this just cut off up there? What the fuck?
Yeah, it's a little goofy. You can read it.
It's weird. Yeah. But yeah, that's interesting. I've listened to this song a million times and I really like it. This though is always one of those songs that's always been, I think it's just a little too, I don't know if it's too deep or I just always find myself spacing out during it or whatever.
Probably spacing out because I could see it.
I know all the words and shit, but I've never really been able to piece together that this is, he's killing jurors.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't even recognize
it. It's funny
that
Derek reads that now in the book because there was a time him and I sat in my car and we were counting them out like he killed 1, 2, 3. Like we were counting out each one. We're like, not adding up.
Well, wait. you want to just count them out right now and solve this mystery once and for all?
Do it, man. Start it over. Let's hear it and we'll count them down.
All right. Fuck it. Oh, it's over here. All right.
Okay.
This song is so tight. By the way,
it is. I think it's slow, and that's why, like, you're talking about space.
Yeah,
I do the same thing. I think it's because it's so slow, and the beat's pretty repetitive.
I could see, I would put this song in the same category as, like, Mental Warp.
Yeah.
Or maybe even The Dead One and shit like that.
I actually like Mental Warp better than this.
I do too, actually.
So he says it, like, right here in the beginning. He's like, 12 people will die tonight.
Yeah.
I never knew it was a jury, though.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize that. Am I just stupid? Yeah. They are saying guilty. I never.
Yeah. Guilty. Guilt. Yeah.
I never.
I think I pieced it together, but maybe not like for the first few years. Knowing about the song. But I finally was like, yeah, it's, you know.
He says, though I've woken and reborn, though I have dished until dawn. Like he's just got this night to kill him, make it right. Now I'm woken and
reborn, though I have just until dawn. Dawn. All right, here we go. Show me every place. Let's see. One sleeps inside his bed. Place my finger on his head. All right, I'm going to turn this down so we don't get copyright. Tell my fingers.
So that's one, right?
Yep.
I always like that visual.
Next one makes love to his wife.
Yeah.
Are you not allowed to listen to the whole album on us?
We can, but we'll get copyright. It doesn't really matter. No. All right, so we're still at two.
Right.
This is him killing the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Filthy. Shove the dresser down his throat.
The dresser.
Use my gift.
There's two.
Oh, we're next working two. Together. Okay. That's. Well, listen. You know what?
Their heads collide. Right?
I never realized he was killing both of it because I always. Yep.
Is it drinking coffee in the back? Well, I can listen to them chat.
I thought you said next to work, like next to work, not next to.
That's, right. The next to see, work. That's the interesting. Shift.
Yeah, that's why people probably get. That's probably the thing.
That might be.
Yeah.
We might have figured it out. All right. So maybe. This is going to be four.
In their breath, but the laughter quickly died.
Yeah, their heads collide, so that's obviously two.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and then like
the scratching in the shit is super dope.
Yeah,
yeah.
So what does he do? He must kill four perverse then.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
I think he kind of rushes through a couple of. He killed another, then three more.
Yeah, okay, now we're down to only four. Yeah.
Okay, let's see what happens here. Let's see if the math keeps adding up. I've never actually made this count that I know of. As a nurse. Let's see.
Yeah, that's five.
All right, yep. Aid. So this is still number five, right?
Face.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Carver face into a clown. Joker.
Ah.
There's four more.
So that puts us at nine. Wait.
No, that puts us at eight.
Pause that because...
Killed another and three more.
Yeah. So we were now at five with the nurse.
He killed five with the nurse. Then he killed another and three more.
Two, so that's, three. That's nine. So how the fuck are we down
five,
to four?
Killed another and three more. Yep, that's nine, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now it's down to only four, he says.
What though. The fuck?
No. He killed another and three more, so that's four.
Maybe he's saying...
That the nurse was the other?
The nurse might be the other.
Okay, so I killed another.
The nurse is five. More. And then he says, carved her face into a clown, killed another, then three more. That would be nine.
That's
nine. Okay.
But then
he says four more, though.
I know.
Yes.
Now we're down to only four.
So his math is messed up in the whole thing.
So it's...
Rewind it.
In order for the math to add up, we have to assume when he says killed another, then three more. He's
talking about the nurse.
The nurse must be the other.
The other.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Let's go back a little bit. I'm glad we're doing this.
That's probably it.
Dissecting lyrics.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Yeah. So I'm assuming... Yeah. Okay, so in his mind, he's down to four.
Yeah.
So that's got
to
be what it
is. The nurse, it just has to be a weird wording that he's saying, I killed another, you know, that was her, then three more.
I could see that. Yeah.
I could justify that.
So we'll say he's at eight now, okay. Right?
Yeah. Let's assume that we're going with eight. So,
So that definitely is where the mix-up comes
in. That doesn't make sense then because people only say he kills 11. We're already... If we were technically up to nine.
We're at eight, and he said there's four more, so let's hear.
All right, let's see what happens next.
And they're saying the discrepancy is until the end.
All right, taxi cab.
So that's nine there, taxi cab.
Taxi ride. Wreck of twist and
steal the steering wheel. I just imagine a big round in his face. Like,
yeah. All right, so this is B10.
This should be number 10.
I always love this line. Comes out of the screen.
Show, yeah.
Watch me get in 3D.
Somebody who's good at fucking paint animating and shit should make a video for some of these songs.
Right.
That'd be so tight. All right, so that's 10. Officially.
Okay, so.
If we're assuming the other is the nurse.
Right.
Yeah.
See, me and Derek did this before where we were counting them up like, wait a minute. Because at that point where he said killed another, now we're down to only four. We're like, that math is wrong. He's down to three.
Yeah, see, it's tricky, man. We'll justify it for you, though.
So let's see how many have left. This is at 10.
Yep, here we go. So there's only two more for the last verse. Oh, yeah. That's part of it. What the fuck's he saying?
Time.
Time.
Yeah, because he's reminding you he has no more time.
He only has till daylight.
It's like Cinderella. Just one left. All right, wow. So hold on. All right, so obviously that tells us that he did mean killed another, then three more, but his math was wrong, saying that he's down to four. Because he literally just said there's like one left.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
No fucking wonder, Violent J. Like, I mean, you obviously didn't do a good job of going back and listening to that shit. I don't know. Like, he literally said, what was the word quote? I have to go back and listen because if my math doesn't add up or some shit. Let's see what happens, though.
I think you're going too far forward.
Oh. So after what were we at this one? By the time we got this? I don't remember. We fucked it up now.
No, this was 10. Yeah. Now, this is 11.
One left is 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just fucked up when he said now there's only four.
Yeah.
When he said killed another and three more, now there's only four, he fucked up.
Let's see. So this is the last one left, right? So we're still missing one, though. If he said,
He should have said, I killed another and three more. Now we're down to only three.
Yeah. Right.
That's what he should have said.
But if you read what he says in the quote, he was talking to the, not sure if I killed the last one. That's what people were saying, right? Read that again where he said that.
He said, but some jugglers have speculated that he doesn't kill the last one.
Which doesn't make sense because the last one right there, he just wrapped fishing twine around his neck and cut it off and watched his head go bobbling.
Yeah,
head.
I don't think he knows quite what he's.
Listen right here. Even though my rhyme was wrong, my crime was wrong.
It's so hard to hear.
Yeah, the math don't add up in that track.
Even though my crime was wrong.
Murder me just for your law, and I'll be back for all y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, where was the just to go back? The discrepancy was between we had eight, and then we had eight, and then he said, "Or I'm sorry,
we had four."
Then he said, "Kill another, then three more."
Killed another, then
no, three. We had five. The nurse was five.
Yeah.
We were. Without a doubt, the nurse is number five.
Yeah,
and he says, okay. Killed another,
then three more. Two. Now we're down to only four.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. So that would have been nine if he would have done that. But he should have said we have
three. Now we're down to only three. All
right, so let's go back then. Assuming that that it is actually nine then, and maybe he just fucked up his math, okay? So that means he still should have three more to kill, right?
Yep.
All right. So
that's
on.
Where he should have said we have three more instead of four.
Yeah, so this would be 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then the taxi cab would be 11.
Right, and then the runner at the end is 12.
You got it. So that adds up. It's just that lyric where he says
now we're down to only 4.
That's just incorrect math.
He fucked that up. He said he wanted to rhyme and that was his problem. He should have said he should have came up with something that rhymed with 3. Or he thought he had 4. Or he might have been doing the math wrong as he wrote that and just never fucking caught it. And fuck you, Shaggy. And fuck you, Mikey Clark, for not fucking catching him.
You know, that sounds good. It's not that big of a deal to me. Don't care about the math.
No, it's a good...
He could have said, like, killed the next 4 so easy. Yeah. Now we're down to only 3.
Yeah,
bam.
Jerry.
You're welcome.
Yep.
You listening, motherfucker?
No. Keep that.
Redo that song. Do a 2019 version of 12.
Yep. Keep that for the remix.
Fucking fix it.
Fix the math and people won't bitch.
You're welcome. I wrote that on a whim.
Yeah. No, Juggalos are right, man. They caught that shit.
Killed the next 4 easily. Now we're down to only 3. You know,
there you go.
Yeah, man, that would have been perfect.
You could think of something better than that. All right, moving on.
I'm seeing if he says anything else this. About that.
I'm glad we analyzed that.
Well, you can't even trust what he's saying at this point because he says the Juggalos are talking about the last person he killed.
Yeah. And he's obviously a liar.
Damn it, stop it.
other than that fuck up, the lyrics in that are fucking brilliantly written.
Yeah.
The lines are tight together. He doesn't oversay shit or undersay shit. They're perfectly said. Other than that,
the idea of the song is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like the idea, he went in with the song, like, I'm going to kill 12 people over the course of this song.
Right.
And then like, he must have had an idea at some point during it to like, okay, let me just wrap a few of these up in one bar because I can't do this or what, it's not going to fit or whatever, you know? But, and then the last verse only kills two, but then he goes on to like wrap up the whole story and
maybe
shit.
Maybe it should have been like an 8-minute song. Then he could have specifically told how he killed the other and the other three.
You know what? He should have just made a 12 verse song and then every verse its own person.
Right. Yeah. He doesn't sing. That would have been smart. That.
I mean, what an idiot.
I feel like that song would have been skipped by a lot of people. Like, this song's so fucking long.
It seems like, I mean, that could have been a good idea for like an EP or something where like, you know, each song is like killing or murdering the next person or something. You know, that could have been some shit like that.
Yeah.
But nevertheless. All right. Moving on. Glad we settled. Got to the bottom of 12.
We didn't, though.
I think we got to the bottom of Jay's a bad at math.
Okay. I think we got to the bottom of it. The one line where he said, now we're down to only four, is the only thing that's wrong with that song.
Correct.
Okay.
The count is correct, except for that line.
Okay. Yeah.
That's where he fucked up his count.
Yeah. Well, there's the math.
He definitely wasn't one short. Definitely wasn't. He would have been one over, if anything.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, all right. Nevertheless, next song is Killing Fields. We're wrapping it up, guys.
I love this song. This is probably my, at this time in my life, this is probably my favorite storytelling, one of my favorite storytelling songs he's ever done.
So this song is just talking about hell, right?
Yeah.
Essentially.
But listen to that beat with the bells.
It's very dark and dreary.
His fucking voice is wicked as shit sounding. And the picture he paints in this is like, this shit like really kind of lightweight scared me back in the day.
Yeah.
When you picture this mentally,
Yeah. Like truly, when I pictured this mentally, like listening to this in the dark in my room at night, this shit fucking for sure really truly creeped me out.
Yeah. As a young man, this song did not impact me at all. Like I didn't skip it, but it was kind of a forgettable song to me. I didn't really appreciate this.
That's crazy.
I know. I was always like, I always loved like surface level humor and really easy storytelling, which ICP did a lot of.
Yeah, this song totally went away from that whole cartoony atmosphere that you got from the whole beginning of the album. It took it to a whole dark place.
As an adult man, aged, this song I feel a lot more now. Like when I do listen to this album as a whole, it stands out a lot more than it did back then.
Right.
I really appreciate it now, but it reminds me of, I get a vibe from this song like what I got when I listened to like Hell's Forecast.
Yeah, this should be Hell's Pit. Like Hell's Pit should have been more of this type of shit.
Yeah.
But he says, Shaggy says something about this song is really gong heavy, just a lot of gongs. And Jay's like, that's right, gong is all over this song. He's like, it's just deep and dark. This was the first song we ever wrote about hell. He's like, it was scary writing that song and it's scary recording it. That song scares me to this day.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even, like, to this day, I know most words on this whole entire album. This song still, I only know here bits and pieces.
Yeah, he says he likes it. It's placed really well on the album right before the last song.
Yeah.
Let me be.
Yeah, it's just creepy shit. He said, we felt really proud of this song, but at the same time felt a little guilty.
That's interesting.
Because it was about hell.
Yeah.
And like, even in their interviews, they talk about their songs, no matter how they word it, are still trying to be a positive.
Yeah.
Vibe,
yeah.
This one doesn't have that.
This one's not positive at all.
He says it took you to a very dark place. You could feel it in your stomach.
Yeah.
And that's true. That's the way I felt about it.
Like Echo Side does that for me.
Yeah.
He's song too.
He's like, we thought it was too ruthless for the album.
See, I appreciated those songs like as they came out, like Echo Side and Hell's Forecast. Like, I loved them for the same reason I like this song now, but at the time, I don't think I was ready for it, maybe, when I was a teenager.
Yeah, he said, we thought it was almost too ruthless for the album. You get into a very, frame of mind and you start, when you start writing about the shit, it bums you out and it's hard to get out of.
Yeah,
that's a good point. I will say that they did to his point about it being placed well, they did a good job of putting Old Evil Eye, which was right after like the goofiest song on the album, but Old Evil Eye is kind of like it's a nice bridge between like the
light and the dark.
Yeah, because it's not super serious. It has a very serious tone, but the way it's done and the everybody knows the tale, so it's not as like dark and dreary. But then it goes right into fucking 12, which is role playing.
Right.
Pretend
role playing the murder of 12 people.
Yeah, and then this one is like really dark. Yeah. So it's kind of like, it's like a weird like downhill. a trip. But then you just get the next song, I'm Coming Home, immediately just puts you right back on top of the world.
That's what, yep. That's what I'm saying.
It's so fucking good.
It was the best ending to the album.
Yeah. This song is one of those songs that, similar to a lot of these songs, like, I didn't love it first, but I did like this song more than, like, Killing Fields and shit right away, but I really, really appreciated this song once I learned the lyrics, and just, I could feel it, like, so much more, like, the beat. I love, like, the chanting, like, they do at the end, like, I don't know, man, like, everything about the song I fucking love.
So it's funny, a little tidbit about this one. Well, first of all, Vine just says, it was the end of the album, so we needed a big anthem. We went for it and nailed it out of the park.
Yeah.
Shaggy says, the only thing that bummed me out about this I'm Coming Home was originally the cut in the song was from the Beatles song, Don't Let Me Down, but we couldn't use the Beatles. And Jay's like, yeah, Jive wouldn't let us use that. So we took the cut out, and instead of the Beatles going, Don't Let Me Down, it's got Joe going, Won't You Be There? Same melody and everything, though.
Hmm.
I don't remember that part.
I don't either.
Won't You Be There? It was a lot better than Don't Let Me Down. Go through. Yeah, that's crazy. So this was originally a Beatles inspired.
That's really sample. Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. All right, but yeah.
I never pulled Beatles from that.
Yeah, neither did I.
Not even slightest.
No. Either way, I have a hard time finding anything to say about the song. It's fucking perfect for the end of the album. It's definitely one of their best album enders, like cap. Fucking super positive. Always gave me a great feeling.
What do you think a song's generally about?
This is just about them. This is about them not forgetting where they came from. At this time, they were probably starting to experience what being a
public figure,
being, you know, being they're probably traveling at this point. They're probably seeing different types of cultures, and obviously being in places, you know, that probably they missed home, you
yeah
know? So
that's what I pull from it.
Yeah, they were just
like, this song to me is almost like, all right, this is the end of like a tour, and they're finally done with the tour. They did their last stop. Hey, I'm coming home to all these people and all these places that we missed and everything that's familiar.
It's definitely a Detroit love song.
Yeah, for sure.
And they've done a lot of those.
Yeah. And it's definitely them, like, say, you know, probably admitting that they tried to fit in and go be part of something else and realize that it's just not for them.
God, this shit gives me chills just listening to it, thinking about it. Like, right? I love this shit, man. This song is so tight.
Yeah, it really is. And when they play this in concert, it's always a big hit.
I love it when they close on this song.
Yeah.
My favorite song that they close on in concert is Down with the Clown, without a doubt.
Yeah, for sure. Down with Clown.
But this is probably a close second, especially I love when they just keep dragging it out for like 10 more minutes at the end, throwing Faygo.
It just keeps going.
Yeah. I can see 100 people on stage throwing Faygo to this shit. God damn it. It just makes me feel so good.
Right.
Like, there's the nostalgia wave, there's the memory wave. Wave of, you know, those moments, and not to mention the song just being a dope ass, the lyrical song, the beat, the funky like horns in the background and shit are so weird.
Yeah,
I love it, man.
Yeah, man. There's not much to say about this that already hasn't been said. You know, it's a great song.
All right. Well,
it's definitely one of the first big album cappers they did that like stood to or became a classic.
I think it's a perfect song to end on.
Yeah. But aside from this, what other song that ended an album off that went on to become a classic? I don't think there is one. Taste didn't really do that.
I'd say Pass Me By is.
Well,
Pass
I mean,
Me By is pretty that,
up to this moment.
But this Pass Me, but that was after.
I know. You're saying up to this moment.
Up
to
this moment. This was it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, yeah. This song is, like, that's a great word for it, anthem. I never really, like, when I listen to ICP songs, I don't usually think, like, this is an anthem, but this song is a fucking anthem. Like,
there's so many ICP anthems.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is definitely one of the best.
And maybe that's why I don't recognize it as being one, is because, like, to me,
every song is an anthem.
Every good ICP song is a fucking anthem to me, man. Like, I love it all.
Yeah.
So good. What would you say would be, like, your top, like, three tracks on the album? Looking at the track list here.
So hard to pick.
toy box, chicken hunting, three rings.
Oh, you left off Dead Body Man.
I know I did, but
wow.
it's not even three rings. Like I said, it wasn't even like one of my favorites, but it is because it's such a good song.
Yeah.
A lot of people enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
It's always changed for me, man. It's continuously changing on what my favorite songs on this. I love Cemetery Girl.
Yeah.
I love Killing Fields. Old Evil Eye, you know. I probably like the more obscure ones that people wouldn't pick as their favorites, but
no, that's why I ask, because like I think it's this album, as far as being an ICP fan or juggalo, whatever you want to call yourself, even somebody who's a casual ICP listener, I think this album's undeniable.
Right.
Like, this is one of their best full works. I think you'd have a hard time arguing with you about that.
Yeah, this was them leveling up as the clowns, man. The Ringmaster really set in stone what their gimmick was going to be.
It set the bar.
And this was them looking back and going, okay, look what we did on Ringmaster. Look, this is what we are. Let's fucking make it even stronger. Yeah. You know, they're still on the up and up.
Cranked it up a notch, man. They turned the crank.
Exactly, man. They turned the damn crank. It came out with it. And this album is a fucking true juggalo classic. It's so many people's favorites.
Yeah.
And I see why. Yeah. You know, I mean, I completely see why. And even people who don't like ICP tend to like this album or at least know about it.
It holds up great, too. I mean, listening to it, like, it's not like you listen to some music and you're just like, man, that shit's just like... just sounds so old. Like, this doesn't. Like, it does not sound old. ICP could release this album today and you'd be like, fuck yeah.
I think this was the first album that had that appeal too. Like, if you listen to anything before this album, you can tell it's old.
It's a little dated, yeah.
But and that's what I love about all the old stuff is the nostalgic. But this is the first one where it actually felt like the substance was enough to last forever.
Yeah, it's timeless.
And feel like, at least musically, for me it does. Mm-hmm. Some of the lyrics on this album are kind of like, yeah, you know, it's a little aged a little bit, but like as far as musically, this is the first album I feel that was timeless.
I agree. My standout tracks are Old Evil Eye, I'm Coming Home, probably Show Must Go On would be my favorite. Chicken Hunt, god damn it, Chicken Hunt and Toy Box, they're all fucking so good, but like those three are, I mean, without a doubt, those are the first three that come to mind when I think of this album.
Chicken Hunt is like by far that has to be the anthem of this album,
without a doubt. That's so good.
Right. Now, are we talking about favorite show concert songs or just favorite? I pop it in and listen to the album.
I'm just thinking popping in and listening to it, like the ones that make you feel good. Like
it's
definitely
for me. Like I know everybody loves Chicken Hunting, but that's a show. It's specifically a show song to me. It's just it's definitely not one that. You know, so I ain't gonna lie. Sometimes I skip it when I listen to this album. Yeah, just because I've heard it so many fucking times.
That's the acceptable. You know, like that song. We get it. You know, it is literally. It's probably the most played out ICP.
It's like Nirvana's. It Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah,
you just heard it so many fucking times. Like, you can skip it.
No, I get it.
When I listen to this album, the one go-to song is Toy Box every time.
Really?
Yeah. Every time.
Yeah, okay. Toy Box.
First song I have to hear right off the bat.
Toy Box, I will not skip. It's one of the... Yeah, I will say that. If I really had to round out this album as like the best song on this album, it probably is Toy Box.
No one's going to argue
I'm impressed with that, man. Yeah. I wouldn't have seen like the Mass Juggalo Nation consider that the best song, but I'm
it's just so well fucking done.
It is
so fucking well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really I didn't appreciate it as much until like recent years, really, you know. Especially like today, I was really listening to it, like, god damn, I don't give this song enough credit. And I literally thought that while I was listening to it.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, anything else you guys want to say before we wrap it up?
Oh man, that's it for me.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming, man. Hope you had fun.
Yeah, man. I'm glad I got to partake on this album specifically.
So. Trip down Juggalo memory lane for us all.
Yeah.
All right.
If you ever want to come back for any future ones, man, you know, even like we might get done with the albums one day and start just do a podcast where we're telling stories and stuff.
Yeah, definitely want to do that, especially regarding talking about gatherings and shit like that. And we'll definitely have you back for that kind of shit.
Yeah, whenever you guys do that, man, just let me know.
Hell yeah, man. Well, thanks for coming. We'll wrap this bitch up. Tune in next week, or whenever we do it, and we'll bust out Tunnel of Love. That'll be next. Right?
Sweet.
All right, man. See you guys later.
Oh, peace. Yeah. Back in the deck, man.
Oh, yeah. Shuffle on out of here, bro.